Aaron. And it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings, working class heroes, dreamer of dreams, also the faint-hearted, the sensitive. How are you? We are back in the liberal bunker here at Air America Radio, me and Riley.
Yo!
Everything is missing. My toy is missing. I don't have my toy. There are other things missing. The little things that go on the mics are missing. Did the Republicans steal these things? We don't know where they are. We don't know. You know why? Because after, on top of Larson, there is just chaos. On the executive level, just chaos. Were there any notes of like, hey, good job at the convention? Were there any notes? No. Was there? Yes, there were.
Yes, there was. It was a nicely done.
Oh, yeah, nicely done.
As
nicely
opposed to done. Brooks and done.
Yeah, why don't you talk into the... Okay, I know I didn't get no Shelley... I didn't get a Shelley letter. All right.
But you can hear him? I can't hear him. Oh, he hasn't talked to me yet.
Yeah, my...
Ah, there he is.
Do we all... We forgot how to use the studio? We're in the studio.
Duh.
All right, now, here's the problem. My toy is gone, so I have to do this. I have to do this old school. Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here. And they left. Where's our stuff? But you know what? Here's the bottom line is, George W. Bush dropped the ball last night. He had no bully juice in him. He was talking old stuff. He left all the heavy lifting to other people. George Pataki, who may be politically cunning but is a moron, just like out there shamelessly insulting everybody like he was Don Rickles at 14 speed. Unbelievable. Just
he's auditioning, just like Don Rickles.
Right. They are ass-kissers looking for a cabinet seat. Is that how that works?
That's how that works.
Well,
we'll get into
it. He's not going to get it because this guy's not going back to the White House. All that stuff he was talking about, he talked about 4 years ago. It's unbelievable that these guys were that careful. They didn't want to put anything in his mouth that he could screw up, number one. Number two, what's he going to run on? He's got nothing. He's got no accomplishments. All he's got is lies. And you know what? All that stuff, the big film of 9/11 exploiting and politicizing the tragedy that happened in this city has created a cult of death out of the Republican Party. The Republican Party is now a death cult. Between that and fanatical Christianity and 9/11, politicizing 9/11, I believe that the Republican Party is now a death cult. I could not believe that film that they showed. And, you look at George Bush with that megaphone talking to the firemen and the people working, in the death pit of 9/11. And he was smug. I forgot that there was an arrogance to it, that there was a sort of like, it's my turn to be filled. This is where I'm going to get my bully juice fill up, right here at this horrendous side of this tragedy.
No, you know what he was doing? You know what he does when he poses with firemen? He's saying to them, look, you play your role, and I'll play mine. You risk your life, and I take credit for it. That's what he does.
Right.
And he does it, I have to say, he does it with some skill. However, the best part of George W. Bush's speech last night was easily his entrance.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a whole... If they had played the Blues Brothers thing, it would have been just the same.
Well, I only counted one person that he touched. He has to touch a person. He's like Jay Leno. They've got to touch people to feel accepted. So he walks out, he touches a guy.
Yeah.
He takes the podium. But you know what? He didn't have that weird, smirky, bully juice thing going on. He was scared. He had nothing to say. He has no accomplishments. And everything he said in that speech, he said 4 years ago, and he hasn't acted on any of it.
Let me tell you something. When he stepped up to that podium, I know this is you notice little things after a while.
Yeah.
When he walked up to that podium, he hesitated for a second like he wasn't sure it was going to work. I swear to God. If you look at the tape, he kind of hesitates like, is this thing actually going to come up now? And then finally, when he saw it come up, he grinned.
Well, that's why the morons like him. Do you understand? He's got a sort of a presentness that people find very appealing because they don't know if it's going to work. And they like having a president that is, narrow-minded, stubborn, belligerent, arrogant, and also human to the point where they're like, I don't know if he's going to pull this off. And every time he's like, okay, I'm okay, people are like, see that? He worked to sort of rise up to that occasion. This is not a guy who is that intuitive. He's not a very courageous guy. He's got this smug arrogance, and the truth of the matter is, I thought the speech was a failure, and I'm glad it was a failure, and I'm not going to get hung up on the speech. I will get hung up with some of the stuff that he was talking about.
You want to talk about some misrepresentations? Because he misrepresented John Kerry so totally, it was almost ridiculous. The other thing that was interesting about last night was John Kerry had more people at his midnight rally in Springfield than were in the garden last night. I'll be willing to bet my paycheck on
it. The midnight rally. Can I just, let's go back to Bush for a minute, because I want to read a quote here. The magnitude of a lie always contains a certain factor of credibility, since the great masses of the people in the very bottom of their hearts tend to be corrupted rather than consciously and purposely evil, and that, therefore, in view of the primitive simplicity of their minds, they more easily fall a victim to a big lie than to a little one, since they themselves lie in little things, but would be ashamed of lies that were too big. Such a falsehood will never enter their heads, and they will not be able to believe in the possibility of such monstrous effrontery and infamous representation in others. Yes, even when enlightened on the subject, they will long doubt and waver and continue to accept at least one of these causes as true. Therefore, something of even the most insolent lie will always remain and stick, a fact which all the great lie virtuosi and lying clubs in this world know only too well and also make the most treacherous use of. Name that quote.
Jerry Garcia?
Adolf Hitler.
Oh, my. See, now, here you go again. You MoveOn.org, tree-hugging liberal, you.
Oh,
you're
come
comparing
on,
George W. Bush.
I got hippie bracelets on. I got a beard now.
People with hippie bracelets.
I got the hippie bracelets. But I'm just saying that, you know, these people choose to believe this crap, even though it works against them. And we all are victims of a lie. John Kerry was the victim of a lie. This is a president that misled his senators. He misled the entire government of this country. He misled this country, and like you were saying, you know, Kerry is finally, you know, not finally, I'm not going to say that, because I am, you know, we have done what we can do to sort of, you know, all that we can do to sort of discredit Bush and put him out of office.
Mm.
And John Kerry, you know, a lot of Democrats are like, when's he going to show up? When's he going to show up? Sometimes we don't understand the timing necessary. I'm no political wizard, certainly. I can barely keep my house in order.
He's doing, John Kerry did course correction. He moved some people around. He didn't even fire anybody, but he moved some people around. He started listening to a couple different folks, and I think he hit a home run with that rally last night. But we'll get into that. Bush, on that, during the course of this speech last night, called on all kinds of old, tired, stale initiatives that he called, that he, essentially he's been talking about since 2000. For example, Social Security. So what does that mean in terms of Social Security? George W. Bush talks about reforming Social Security, and the leadership for Social Security reform has to come from him. And yet and still, this is a man who has not led the Congress on Social Security. People in Congress have said to him, listen, Mr. President, you want to reform Social Security, you're going to have to come to the Hill with some specific programs. He hasn't done it.
Yeah,
he hasn't provided the leadership.
He says, it's like, hey, you know, the paperwork for taxes are way too complicated. We want to make it easier, you know, for Americans to pay their taxes. So we're going to just have a direct deposit for the, you know, the people who are under middle class line in America. We're going to have a direct deposit into the accounts of the wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Just a direct deposit slip. That'll make it a lot easier so they can pay their taxes direct. And also, there's a lot of stuff he said. And the truth of the matter is, he's got nothing to run on.
He's got nothing to run on?
Here's some expert excerpts from last night's speech on health care. Quote, we will provide low-income Americans with better access to health care. In a new term, I will ensure every poor country county in America has a community or rural health center. Now, let's see what he said. You know,
Back in the day?
Yeah, well, that was in, you know, he said that this was last night, okay?
Mm.
And he made the same promise, 4 years ago. And here's what he said, 4 years ago in 2000. There are 43 million uninsured Americans, 4 million more than when the current administration took office. George W. Bush will reverse this trend by making health insurance affordable for hardworking, low-income families. That's what he said in 2000. Now, the reality is, in the first 3 years Bush was in office, the number of uninsured Americans increased by nearly 5.5 million. Since Bush took office, health insurance premiums have risen by an average rate of 12.5% a year. So not only did he not do what he was going to say 4 years ago, and not only, you know, is he saying the same thing, but it's like it's much worse.
Well, not only that, he misrepresents time and time again, and this is something that many of his surrogates, including Zell Miller, did during the course of the convention. He mis- misrepresents John Kerry's positions on issues. For example, John Kerry is simply a guy whose platform is increasing taxes. Well, only on the richest 2% of all Americans is John Kerry talking about increasing taxes. He talks about local control of No Child Left Behind. But No Child Left Behind is underfunded by $9 billion, and it overrides local prerogatives. So how do you say you're giving control of schools to local people, and while at the same time you set standards and a program initiative that actually overrides the local priorities and what the local people want to do. He attacks Kerry on defense, yet his vice president and his secretary of state voted for some or wanted to make some of the same cuts that John Kerry voted to make when he's been in the Senate.
Well, that's all exactly true. And, you know, Mark Riley, a lot of people yesterday, they've dealt with Zell Miller. They've dealt with Dick Cheney. We talked about this convention. We're not even going to give, you know, George Bush any airtime in terms of playing clips from his speech. It's not necessary. Nothing was said that's any different from 4 years ago. Nothing has been done. All they've done is put the country in debt, taking us to war on lies and promise to, you know, institute a theocracy in this country within at least the next 4 years. What we're going to do now is let John Kerry do his own heavy lifting, and we're going to have his response to George Bush's speech when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Urgent news for people who have taken the acne drug Accutane. Accutane was promoted as a safe way to treat severe acne. 100% of Accutane users will experience adverse side effects if you or your child has experienced liver, kidney, or pancreatic damage, inflammatory bowel disease, diabetes, birth defects, muscular skeletal injuries, psychiatric or cardiovascular problems. Call the Accutane Litigation Group at 1-866-422-2843 to see if you may be entitled to compensation. 1-866-4-ACU-HELP. Now.
New York City, September 4th at Town Hall. Mother Jones Magazine presents The State of the Union, an evening of uncensored political comedy to benefit uncensored, uncompromising independent media. Starring Air America host Janine Garofalo and Liz Winstead. Bipartisan smartass Will Durst. Comic artist Ward Sutton, Eugene Merman, and friends. Tickets through Ticketmaster. More information at motherjones.com.
All right, we're here live in Egypt where Bam Margera of Jackass fame is attempting to be the first man to skate down the Great Pyramid. And he's off. He's looking pretty good. No, no, no. Wait, wait. He's a little unsteady. It looks like he's taking a bit of a tumble out.
Bam Margera now has his own exclusive radio show on Sirius. Enjoy Tony Hawk, Kelly Slater, and Jerry Wolf, the top extreme sports star. All exclusive show only on Sirius. Action 28.
Coming this fall.
Look at my knee.
How is your child's self-esteem? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. A healthy self-esteem doesn't mean self-centeredness or conceit. It simply means that a child has a positive view of himself, and much of a child's self-esteem comes from the home. Clinical psychologist Dr. Michael Sheehan suggests several guidelines for parents to promote self-esteem in their children. First, be sure to give your child time, attention, and unconditional love. Use fair and reasonable consequences to change problem behavior. And be sure to reward your children when you see them doing good things. For more tips on self-esteem, visit FamilyMinute.net. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
When is the right time to start talking with children about marijuana? Before they see or hear any pro-use messages or images. Before anyone their age has used it. Before anyone encourages them to try it. Before it becomes their first step towards substance abuse, school problems, health and safety risks, and illegal activity. Reality check. It's never too soon to talk to your kids about marijuana. For tips on getting started, call 1-800-729-6686.
That's it. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
On Morning Sedition on Air America Radio post the traumatic experience of being there at the garden with the pigs out of the tunnel. As Hunter S. Thompson once said, the pigs are out of the tunnel. They're still out of the tunnel, but hopefully they're scurrying back to their sties and other parts of the country. It was disgusting. Just the level of immaturity, of pettiness, of contempt, of and just the discomfort of being around such, you know, narrow-minded and you know, angry people.
Did you did they put lipstick on that pig?
I don't know if they succeeded in putting lipstick on it, but
that was the statement of this convention. That was made by the guy from the Log Cabin Republicans when they talked about some of the moderates coming up and acting as though, you know, this is a big tent and everybody's all inclusive. They said you can't put lipstick on a pig.
Yeah, it's all inclusive. We have fascists, imperialists, the middle class. We have religious extremists. We have bigots. Zell Miller, the old racist up there, you know, just spouting out, his eyes all ablaze with fear and hate.
Where's his axe handle like his boy Lester Maddox?
Yeah, right.
Remember, well, you probably don't remember.
I don't remember, but that's where he learned it.
Yeah. But you know what, Maron?
Yes.
I think John Kerry has been hearing you. Not just hearing you on the air, hearing you rant upstairs before we... actually, downstairs. Hey, sorry about that. Before we come on the air. Somebody shoot me. I've been here for 10 years and don't know what's up and down. No, I think that John Kerry has been hearing... The people who have said, hey, man, you've got to step up. You've got to get, you got to get your act together. Joe Klein wrote a very interesting piece, which our good friend, producer Brendan McDonald shared with us just yesterday.
Right.
About how John Kerry kind of is this very proper Boston Brahmin kind of guy. Then he goes into a phone booth and he comes out with his warrior fatigues on and the knife between his teeth.
And his headband on like,
headband. Come on. Well, that happened last night in Springfield, Ohio, when he had a rally. Of 15,000, I don't even know 15,000 people live in Springfield, Ohio.
Right.
They had this in front of a historic building, and it was the first time, I think, in this part of the election cycle where people are hearing John Kerry take the gloves off, where people who have wanted John Kerry to step up and answer these criticisms finally heard him answer.
He's getting off the boat and he's chasing him down.
That's right. Let's hear, John, we got a good piece of this from last night. Let's hear it.
You all saw the anger and the distortion of the Republican convention. For the past week, they have attacked my patriotism and even my fitness to serve as commander-in-chief. Well, here is my answer to them. I will not have my commitment to defend this country questioned by those who refused to serve when they could have and who misled America into Iraq. The Vice President called me unfit for office last night. Well, I'm going to leave it up to the voters to decide whether 5 deferments make someone more qualified than 2 tours of duty. We'll decide about that. But let me tell you in no uncertain terms what makes someone unfit for office and unfit for duty. Misleading our nation into war in Iraq makes you unfit to lead our country. Doing nothing while this nation loses millions of jobs makes you unfit to lead this country. Letting 45 million Americans go without health care for 4 years makes you unfit to lead this country. Letting the Saudi royal family control the price of oil for Americans makes you unfit to lead this country. Handing out billions of dollars in contracts without a bid to Halliburton while you're still on the payroll makes you unfit to lead this country. That, my friends, is the record of George Bush and of Dick Cheney, and that only begins to scratch the surface.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful? Bam, bam. bam, bam. Oh, yeah. All of a sudden, he's like, he's out. He's speaking in his own sort of oratory style. He's not doing any JFK stuff. It's like, all of a sudden, that's where you hear the earnestness and the momentum of John Kerry. And, like, thank God, man. Thank God he showed up last night and kicked some ass.
Yeah, now, Jonathan is saying that's this morning. This is a very important cultural difference. In the rest of America, it's this morning. In New York, that's last night, because anything before 4 o'clock in the morning in New York is last night.
Oh, wait, I forgot to do something. Forget about it.
There you go.
All right, I'm a little late.
Wow. I wonder how that turned out.
I don't know. You know what turned out? That Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, on CNN, Mr. Breach the security. You know what? They tried to make it look like we were lying. We're going to talk to Pashman because he was talking to the Anderson Cooper people and what's her name, Meserve.
Yeah.
They didn't even do their job as reporters. There's something great about this whole Dan Pashman story, not just because he's our Dan Pashman and Lewis and Linda's Dan Pashman and New Jersey's Dan Pashman, fan of Bruce Springsteen, but because it shows the hypocrisy and the lack of reporting credibility that CNN has.
It's called due diligence.
But, you know,
your homework.
Not only what happened, like, when Pashman went underground with the guy who worked at the Garden and was able to get, you know, into a place that was supposed to be, you know, highly secured, you know, with very little effort. But the way that they reported it on CNN, you know, that was not, they refused to, they didn't do their full story. They talked to Pashman and then they tried to make it look like, you know, Air America was making it up when the evidence was clear, and they didn't see the story. They didn't see where the story was.
Hey, let me tell you something. They're lucky when that podium rose up out of the ground as George Bush walked to it that Dan Pashman didn't get off and with a microphone and stick it right in front of his face.
Yahtzee!
Yahtzee, there you go.
I'm here.
What do you got to say, Mr. President?
Yeah, I just, it's unbelievable to me, what he said last night, just on taxes. I believe in the energy and innovative spirit of American workers, entrepreneurs, farmers, and ranchers. What America is he living in? I believe in the energy of innovative spirit of America's workers. You mean the ones that are out of work, where there's no work to be had? Entrepreneurs, farmers, and ranchers. Farmers and ranchers, is he talking about the large agribusiness corporations?
Yeah, there's only five of them. They control, how many percent of the farms in America?
The five farmers. Yeah. So we unleash the energy of the largest tax relief in a generation. But let's not forget, millionaires received an average tax cut of $123,000.
Whoa. Say that again, please.
Millionaires received an average tax cut of $123,000. Those in the bottom percent of the earners received average tax cuts of $27. Those in the second to the bottom received an average cut of $317.
$27? Let's go to Walmart and have a party.
$1,000 kickback for health coverage. You ever had health coverage that costs $1,000 a year?
Soon come. When we come back, another Republican for John Kerry, author Ron Suskind, and the president's Tom Pilot, and more for you on Air America Radio.
Hi, my name is Sophie. For 5 years, I lived alone in this big house Joe and I built 35 years ago. Our girls grew up in this house. They visited every couple of weeks, and I loved seeing my grandkids, but most of the time I was on my own. Some days I didn't even go out. I just felt sad. Lonely, I guess. One day my daughter came over and said, "Get your coat, Mom. We're going for a drive." She wouldn't tell me where. When we got to the ASPCA, I got nervous. But once I met little Stevie, everything changed. Stevie's my cat. It's hard to express what a difference little Stevie's made in my life. It's mostly small things, like hearing his ridiculously loud purr. Stevie brought love back into my house. I may have saved his life, I don't know. But I do know that he made mine a lot brighter.
This is Richard Thompson, member of the board of directors of the ASPCA, encouraging you to visit your local animal shelter and adopt a cat.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry, heeding the advice of senior campaign consultants, has come out swinging with a stinging attack on George W. Bush and Dick Cheney on the heels of the Republican National Convention. He painted Bush and Cheney as Vietnam War draft dodgers. New York Governor George Pataki tried to rewrite history last night, suggesting the Clinton administration was responsible for the nation's vulnerability on 9/11. Evidence shows that former National Secretary Advisor, Security Advisor Sandy Berger had advised the Bush White House as it was taking over to take threats by Al-Qaeda seriously. In Beslan, Russia, scores of children and adults tried to make a run for it this morning, fleeing the scene of a hostage holdup by militant Chechenian rebels. Reports say anywhere from 350 to 1,000 people, men, women, and children, are being detained by the militants. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
You know who really, really rocks on Sirius?
What?
Diane Rehm on NPR Now.
Dude.
Oh, I really like her hard news analysis of politics and international affairs.
Dude.
I really prefer Fresh Air with Terry Gross for her probing questions, revelatory interviews, and unusual insights.
Dude.
Surf on over to NPR for Diane Rehm, 10 a.m. Eastern weekday, and Terry Gross, 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 8 p.m. weekends on Sirius NPR Now 106.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Daniel wants to know if a lease purchase is a good way to buy a home. I'll explain the risks to him after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Daniel wants to know about a lease purchase. Dave, have you ever heard of a lease purchase, whereas leasing a house with the option to buy it after the agreement? Thanks. Yes, it's very dangerous, and I wouldn't do it. It works mechanically much like a contract for deed, where you're leasing the property, and at the end of the lease, you are given the deed, 20 years, 15 years later, whatever the term of the payment is. Problem is, you don't own the house in all that meantime. And in all that meantime, the guy that does own the house, his 17-year-old, who's not of legal age yet, gets drunk and hits somebody head on and gets sued for $20 million, your guy just lost your house because it's in his name. He doesn't pay his taxes, and the IRS come take his house. It's in his name. You lost your lease purchase deal. That's the problem with contract for deed, land contracts, and lease purchase deals. Don't do them. Now, I would lease something with an option to purchase, but if I chose to purchase at any time during the process, I could actually write him a check and buy the thing. There's nothing wrong with that.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Thanks a lot, Ramon. We'll see you later. It's wild, man. He's hanging around the studio. Did he sleep here or something?
I don't know. I thought he was going back to the hotel. Didn't he say he was something about a hotel?
Well, it's supposed to be in Washington. I think he smelled like liquor. Ramon dropped off the Palm Pilot the schedule for today. That's Mark Riley. I'm Mark.
You're a heartless man, Marin.
No, you're listening to Air America Radio. Good morning, Albuquerque, New Mexico, my hometown. We are proudly piping into the brains of Albuquerque, New Mexico. I got a note from someone I went to junior high with, Lita. I remember you. Of course I remember you. What, are you kidding me? It was great hearing from you. I'm glad that we're getting out there. Good morning, Dad. My dad, did I tell you about my dad wants to go to Iraq?
You told me about that.
Remind me to tell you my dad's he's going to Iraq. All right, here we go. Here's the president's schedule for today. 8 o'clock, wake up in New York. Stay on message. Pashman must be stopped. John Kerry is soft on Pashman. 10 a.m., call Zell Miller. Thank him for Wednesday night's performance as Bad Cop. The crazy cracker vote is ours. 12 a.m., leave New York. Mission accomplished. Note, never come back here, even if something happens. On October 8th at the Stock Exchange, like it said in yesterday's memo. Uh-huh. 2 p.m., speak at rally, Moosic, Pennsylvania. Tell them, actually fighting in a war clouds your judgment. 4 p.m., speak at rally, West Allis, Wisconsin. Tell them, actually volunteering for a war clouds your judgment. 5:30 p.m., speak at rally, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Tell them, this man doesn't have enough sense to stay out of danger. I know danger when I see it. I never saw it, but I'll know. 9:10 p.m. arrived in Cleveland for overnight. Tell them New York was nothing like you. Beautiful, sure, but so hard and cold. I couldn't wait to get back in the arms of simple, easy Ohio. 10 p.m. bedtime. Check to see if Dan Pashman is under the bed. There you go. On the phone, we have another in a series of Republicans for Kerry. This man is a Vietnam veteran. He is a self-identified Christian. He is Earl Ladley. Good morning, Earl, from Verona, Virginia. How's it going?
Just great, Mark. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, tell me what kind of Republican you are, Earl.
Well, I consider myself, I guess in today's news, a moderate Republican right now.
Mm-hmm.
Considered myself previously to be a real conservative.
Uh-huh.
However, there's been a lot of actions that's changed my views a little bit, where I'm leaning more and more.
Earl, can you speak up a little bit?
Yes.
Thank you.
You're leaning a little more and more towards Kerry?
Yes, I am.
That's great.
This started probably with me about 6 months ago.
Uh-huh.
And when I started really looking at the facts more, what's happening to our nation.
Uh-huh.
Under George Bush.
Sure, sure. Now, why do the Christians, you know, associate Christianity with Bush? Is that, you know, I mean, I know we talked about this. You talked about this with our producer. And what do you think of, why is that harmful?
You know, we all have a right to our own religion. For some reason, Jerry Falwell's group is somehow one of most Republicans into believing that they can sole source Christianity.
Right.
Just as they did with sole source Halliburton in the Iraqi war.
Right.
It's unbelievable. I have to tell you, this is a true story. They also associate Democrats with abortion, which is not true. We don't, you know, I know my wife and I do not believe in abortion strictly for birth control, but there are many reasons why there should be abortion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Earl Adley, as a Vietnam vet, what was your reaction to the ads that were taken by the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth?
I was very, very angry and upset that a small group of veterans being paid would dishonor Senator Kerry and this nation, as a matter of fact, with their ads.
Yeah.
Senator Kerry earned those awards, and he has every right, you know, forever right. He's earned that right to come back after he experienced what he experienced and tell the world about it. So I was very angry at it.
Well, that's great. I mean, you know, it's great that you've woken up in this way. Is there a specific moment where you really realize that, hey, that's it, I'm changing, I'm voting for Kerry, I don't want to be involved with these guys?
You know, I guess I was like a lot of other Republicans. It took me a while to realize what was going on, but about here a couple months ago, there was a senator trying to get a portion of the Patriot Act out.
Yeah.
Bush administration kept it in, and it was where the government can go down and get a list of books that you check out of the public library.
Yeah, oh yeah, we heard about that, sure.
And, you know, the public doesn't know that. I didn't know it. I didn't know it was part of the Patriot Act. And it just set me off to where I started looking at more and more facts of what they're doing.
So you as a Republican, as a Christian, realized that this administration is all about expanding government into your personal life.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us, Earl. Really appreciate you being here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care. It's always encouraging to see when people wake up to the truth, you know, and that sounds a little preachy. But,
as close as this election is going to be,
yeah,
each and every person who decides to change their minds, whether they're Republican, Christian, pro, anti-abortion, it doesn't matter. Each and every one of these votes counts.
And register to vote, please. I'm reminded you again, okay? You know who I'm talking. You. Register to vote. The thing is that's amazing, is that even when Dan Pashman was able to breach security and get the information he got, and then when you see what happened, how the Homeland Security Department responded to it, you start to realize that this government, this administration, is all about expanding government. It's all about dumping money into bureaucracies that don't function to pay off people that they think they, you know, deserve it. You know, it's just funneling tax money into the pockets
Of the rich.
Exactly.
Of George W. Bush's friends and donors. These are people who are getting a quid pro quo. They are making sure, look, when it comes to the faith-based initiatives, this is the clearest example of this. There are a number of black clergy people across the country who will support George Bush come hell or high water, forgive the analogy, because they want some of the dollars to run some of these programs in the black community. That's what they're looking for. That's what they're after. That and access. Access to people so that if something happens in their communities or if there's something that interrupts their flow, they're able to get to these folks and say, hey, we need help in this particular area. It's the same. It's politics. It is politics as usual, and don't think it's anything but politics as usual.
You say that, and, like, I was somewhat of an idealist, you know, before I got this job when I knew less.
In the 60s.
The more I learned, you know, is that, you know, these people, these politicians, you know, most of them, they don't care about people. They just care about their own rising through the ranks. They care about their, you know, taking care of the wealthy people in their constituency. You know, it's really mind-blowing when you look and you spend that much time at the Republican National Convention and you realize that these people, it's just a big game to them. It's a big game. The fact that there are, you know, literally there are corporate lobbyists that are running the Department of the Environmental,
Protection Agency, yeah.
I mean, it's just like, it's mind-blowing to me, and I guess I'm getting an education. We're going to take a couple calls after this, 866-303-2270. We'll talk to you in a minute on Air America Radio. Want to add your 2 cents? Give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
Welcome to Jed and Barry's Ice Cream. What flavor would you like, sir?
Hey there, I'll take a little of all 120 flavors, please.
That's, a lot to try, sir.
I got the car, I got the kids, and a hell of a long drive ahead.
Yeah,
who knows? I like chocolate, so maybe I'll like Super Mocha Fudge. Wrap it to go, kid. Time's a-wastin'.
There's a lot to sample on Sirius. So this Labor Day weekend, surf around. You might just surprise yourself with something you never thought you'd like. Sirius. Find your favorites.
Hope it nuts.
Do your children like to hug each other? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. In our home, we hug our kids a lot, but have noticed that our children don't hug each other very much. One of our kids loves to hug. The others act like it's no big deal. But hugging with frequency and sincerity is food for the soul. So guess what? We're teaching our kids how to hug each other. First, a hug has to be a full embrace. One arm, half-hearted hugs don't count. Second, it has to be at least 10 seconds to be a good one. Sure, you're going to get some moans, groans, and eye rolls, but maybe after they've hugged enough, it will become a cherished habit. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Hi, I'm Al Franken. Sirius Satellite Radio and Headcount urge you to make a difference. This year, it's more important than ever to wave that flag and let your voice be heard. If you're not registered, go to headcount.org, get serious, and vote.
Hi, I'm Avi Ward with the Dead.
Hi, this is Phil Lesh from the Grateful Dead.
Hi, this is Trey Anastasio reminding you that this year, it's more important than ever to get out and vote.
To register, go to www.headcount.org.
This November, show up and vote.
I'd like to tell you about an attacker. My friend was hit by a stroke. His left side got weak and he was helpless. Thankfully, someone called 911. So if it ever happens to you or someone around you, call 911. This is Will Downing, friend of a stroke survivor.
Strokes attack African Americans more often. Find out why. Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. Basketball great Charles Barkley.
I got a little pop quiz for you. What do I have a hard time keeping shut? And what is my nickname? And now I got one for you. Do you know your kid's principal's nickname?
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Good morning. It's
Mark Maron with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. Good morning, Miami. I hope everything goes okay down there. My mother was battening down the hatches last night herself. Yeah. Clearly, if I can spin this in the right direction, apparently God wanted to distract you from the Republican National Convention. All right, so let's. If there is a God, clearly he had other things in mind than you watching this fraud of a president on TV making his sales pitch to a country with very little goods to provide. Now, let's hear this first. Let's set it up like this. Let's hear the CNN piece, Kalo, and then we'll talk to
the celebrity.
Yeah.
And welcome back to the last night of the Republican National Convention. It was an army of 10,000 police officers in and around the convention, a fortress of security blockades and heavily armed screening zones along the way. It would seem virtually impossible for anyone not invited to crash this grand old party. But some are, and they're not slipping by. They're actually walking in with the credentials to do it. CNN's Gene Meserve has more, beginning with one man's story of an almost unbelievable amount of access.
Dan Pashman, a producer for the liberal radio network Air America, says a friendly stagehand approached him on Radio Row and offered to take him on a tour of Madison Square Garden Tuesday night, including under the stage where First Lady Laura Bush had spoken an hour before.
So we're directly beneath the podium?
Yeah, that's the podium right here.
That is the podium. The main podium is right there. We are directly underneath it at this time.
The thought went through my head that a different person at a different time with a different intent could possibly have done something that would we certainly none of us would like to see happen.
The area under the stage is supposed to be secure. In fact, Pashman was eventually asked to leave.
You know there's no media in this part of the floor? Did you guys know that?
I did not.
Mm-mm. No media on the fifth floor. Like in the OP.
Okay.
No go.
Okay, we'll head out then.
The only comment from the U.S. Secret Service was, quote, "We are aware of it," referring to the website where Pashman's interview was posted. But the Department of Homeland Security says it has doubts about the tape because the description does not appear to match the area under the stage. Pashman insists it is not a hoax.
You actually did this. You went down there to the stage room.
Yes.
See, now, if they were real journalists, wouldn't they have, like, gone back and said, hey, let's investigate their accusation of Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, of New Jersey, lying?
Who taught their kid not to lie.
Well, Dan?
What's interesting, Mark, about what happened is that they did investigate that. I proved to them that the Department of Homeland Security was incorrect. All right, just real quick, I'll say that the Department of Homeland Security told CNN that I was on the fifth floor on the tape, and the fifth floor is in the nosebleeds, so
right.
I couldn't have been under the stage. All right, the fact is that they talked to me, they told me that that's what they said, and I took them around MSG, and I proved to them, I proved to CNN that that the sixth floor is floor level, and that the fifth floor is under the floor, and therefore the Department of Homeland Security said about the fifth floor being the nosebleeds was incorrect.
Right.
All right. They chose not to air that part of the report, so they did ask the questions, and then rather than including that in their report, they simply said, well, this guy says this, these guys say that, back to you.
So they didn't actually do a story. All they did was present your thing, but they didn't just say that's the story. Basically, because of the nature of how things are slanted in this culture, that they made it seem like we were lying.
In some ways, absolutely. And, I mean, listen to what we were talking about earlier, that the media has been so browbeaten by conservatives that really all they do is present each side of the issue and then throw up their hands. And the reality is that sometimes there are objective facts that show one side to be correct. And it's not biased for them to say, well, the Department of Homeland Security says the fifth floor is in the nosebleeds, but the fact is it's not.
Right.
That's not bias. That's journalistic integrity. That's reporting the facts.
Right.
And they chose not to do that.
Yeah. Anybody who knows Madison Square Garden knows that Dan Pashman was where he said he was, because the Department of Homeland Security guy, I don't think, was from New York. I would almost guarantee that this guy was not from New York and doesn't know that the levels of Madison Square Garden change depending on whether you are within the employee part of the garden or whether you're in the public part of the garden. If you say level 5 on the public part, the part with the escalators, that's one thing. If you say level 5 in the employee side of the garden, you're talking about a different place.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting to me that there were a lot of protesters that sort of got in. Some delegate passes were going around, which means
means what? I don't know. It means that some of the delegates were questionable. They were giving up their credentials. I'm just happy it happened. I'm proud of you, man. You did your thing.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
If you want to see the transcript of Dan's interview, you can hear it, actually.
You can hear the transcript of the interview.
On morningsedition.com. You can also go there to link up to declareyourself.com, which is where you get information on how to register to vote. Because you know what? They're fighting for very little turf here. They've got some undecided voters. There's a small percentage of people that are registered and who are undecided. But there are literally millions of you who are not registered to vote. And that's going to make a difference. And look, I know what it's like to put stuff off. Election Day is November 2nd.
Yes.
You need to check and see when the deadline is for you to register. You really need to do it. I know it seems unhip and it seems a little ridiculous and you may not think it's going to matter, but I really believe that the millions of people who aren't registered to vote are going to make the difference in the election, because you know who represents the apathetic best? John Kerry. If you're apathetic and you don't think it matters, John Kerry is your
man. For you. So get unapathetic long enough to vote for him. Remember something. There was a line of people that stretched from Wall Street to Midtown Manhattan, a distance of at least 2.5, maybe 3 miles. All of these people had been laid off during the Bush years. You don't think this election pertains to you? Ask one of those people that got a pink slip.
And Dan, again, when Lewis and Linda are released from custody after questioning by the Secret Service, hopefully they'll take you out for dinner. You did a great thing. We're taking your calls after this at 866-303-2270. Thanks a lot, you guys. Thanks, Dan. Why am I thanking you? We'll talk to you in a second on Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
So by now you know that XM Satellite Radio has over 120 channels of 100% commercial-free music, plus news, sports, and talk this year. But do you know about the Delphi XM Rode 2, the smallest and lightest satellite radio ever? It even has a stock ticker that you can customize with up to 20 of your favorite stocks, and a built-in wireless audio adapter so you can easily listen to it through any car or home stereo. All for less than $130. XM Satellite Radio. Required $9.99 monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
When allergies come with sinus pain, my Claritin just doesn't have it.
My Benadryl doesn't have it either.
Even my prescription allergy medicines don't have it.
Only Advil Allergy Sinus has it. It's the first and only allergy medicine with the pain-relieving power of Advil. So you get allergy relief plus advanced medicine for sinus pain. That's two-way relief.
Now I know what all the others are missing. Advil for my sinus pain.
Advil Allergy Sinus. Don't just stop allergies that hurt.
The blockbuster event of the year. All the thrills. All the chill. Romance. Comedy. Drama.
John.
Marsha.
John.
Marsha.
John.
Marsha.
It's fun for the whole family. All your favorite E! Entertainment TV shows. All on Sirius E! Entertainment Radio 136.
Optimist volunteers serve as leaders, mentors, and friends to help kids achieve a more positive and productive life in 3,600 communities and 19 countries. This year, Optimists will raise and invest over $80 million in 60,000 community service projects that help 6 million children and teens. Optimists have been bringing out the best in kids for nearly 100 years. For the location of your nearest Optimist Club, call 1-800-500-8130.
Here's an important food safety rule to keep in mind. It takes thorough cooking to kill harmful bacteria. Check your food for doneness, especially meat and poultry, with a food thermometer, because food safety is important. Don't take chances. Cooking food thoroughly is a simple way to keep you and your family healthy. Brought to you by the Partnership for Food Safety Education.
Community groups do so much, especially helping to keep kids away from drugs. But do you know there's a way to make community groups stronger? It's called a community coalition. Community coalitions help local groups get together and get more done. Find out how your group can get involved at helpyourcommunity.org. Because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
John Kerry's fighting back. You guys are fighting back. Get out there, register to vote. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
It's Morning Sedition. It's Air America Radio. Thank God that convention was such a disappointment, such a display of horrendous anger, fear, panic, and absolutely no message whatsoever. The Republicans are a death cult that come to the city of their biggest failure, where we are basically still grieving and try to build a campaign on the death of 3,000 people in this city and parade it before the American people as a symbol of their strength. It was heinous. Let's talk to Donna in Pennsylvania. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm doing great. I am sitting in traffic waiting to go protest the Bush rally in Moosic, Pennsylvania.
Oh, and, great.
I agree that it was totally heinous the way that they brought up 9/11.
Yes.
It was criminal almost. You know, when Rudy Giuliani said, when I looked up and I saw a body falling, I thought of George W. Bush. Like, what was that? Where did that come from? I don't know.
But there's,
you know, that's a good question, Donna.
There's actually proof that isn't what he thought. You know, his comment is, you know, it was basically, you know, how are we going to handle this? That was all sort of, you know, manipulated BS.
But the whole 9/11 thing was manipulated throughout the whole scene.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, them coming to New York City was, you know.
A cynical ploy.
Yeah, they really thought it was going to be a win-win situation. I tell you, most New Yorkers I talked to were just, you know, offended that they did that.
Donna, where is he speaking in Moosic? Not at Lackawanna County Stadium, is he?
He is speaking at Lackawanna County Stadium.
Okay, I'll be there tomorrow. Thank God he'll be gone.
How many people you know are going to be down there? You know if there's going to be some big numbers down there, Donna, as far as protesters?
As far as protesters, I don't know. We were loosely organized. I saw people at the Kerry rally, or at the Edwards rally in Kirby Park in Wooster. And some of the folks that I've been working with loosely through volunteering through Move On and volunteering through the local DNC office getting together. So, and then, you know, just emailing each other. And so I have no idea of the numbers of people that are coming. But I'm sure that when Cheney came out to Wilkes College, I mean, we're just getting bombarded with candidates.
How was the Edwards speech?
The Edwards speech was good.
Good.
It was, you know, part of bits and pieces of his convention speech, but
right.
It was good.
Well, look, hey Donna, be careful when you go out there, and thanks for calling, and we really appreciate
you. We appreciate it, Donna.
Okay.
Oh, there it is.
We'll take more calls in the next hour. I feel like I've neglected you people. We were at the convention all week, and it was crazy. We didn't take a lot of calls while we were there. And call back in the next hour, and we'll talk to you. I apologize I didn't get to you. Here, write these down. Urge City of New York to talk to a crisis counselor after this week's brutal attack. 2. Assemble 12-inch dance mix of Bush's acceptance speech, cut together with a Hitler speech and endangered whale songs. 3. Wrap giant paper mache tank with Bush head in bubble wrap and ship to Ohio for Cleveland rally. Yeah. 4. Update your website. Post protest diary photos from New York City detention cell of symbolic nude human pyramid. Yeah. 5. Today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Quote, and stay out. End quote. We'll talk to you on the top over the next whatever. What's coming up, Mark?
Coming up in the next hour of Morning Sedition, we're going to have more from the Republican National Convention and from John Kerry, Mark Maron's Dream Diary, author Ron Suskind, the Morning Sedition Business Report, and the Dog of the Week, all for you here on Air America Radio.
Hey, pal, driving the big rig. Time for a little reality check. Let's say you're standing in line to buy movie tickets. A guy wants to cut in front of you. What do you say?
Don't even think about it.
Right. Now, what if a four-wheeler out on the highway wants to cut in front of your truck?
Don't even think about it.
Wrong. Out there, the stakes are higher. So take the high road and back off. In a wreck, everyone loses. A public service safety message from the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
Have a good day, dear.
Your mom always told you to take good care of your stuff. And she was right, as usual. It's a fact that regular car maintenance improves gas mileage and performance. Plus, regular maintenance can reduce traffic congestion due to breakdowns and help reduce pollution. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA. Mom would be so proud.
And hearing a great deal about frequency modulation. The new high-fidelity new way.
Superior sound resolution with S-Plex technology. Sirius, it's on.
This is Air America Radio, dears. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Scores of Russian soldiers have been assisting in the rescue of a handful of children who managed to escape an ongoing hostage holdup in Beslan near the Chechenian border. Militants tied to the separatist movement in Chechnya have occupied a school building in southern Russia, threatening to take the lives of all those inside. Government estimates peg the number of hostages at 350, but one freed hostage told a published report the figure is closer to 1,000. In Florida, some residents are fleeing the southern part of the state to get out of harm's way as Hurricane Francis descends on the state. Latest weather event is expected to hit land by Saturday morning. In Ohio last night, Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry came out swinging with a stinging attack on President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney on the heels of the Republican National Convention in New York. Kerry, in a rare move, rallied supporters at midnight in the state, hardest hit by unemployment in the last 4 years. No Republican has ever won the White House without winning the state of Ohio. Kerry, with 2 months before Election Day, sought to redirect the course of his campaign by exposing the Bush-Cheney military record, leaving it to the voters to decide as to who is more qualified to run the country.
You all saw the anger and the distortion of the Republican convention. For the past week, they have attacked my patriotism and even my fitness to serve as commander-in-chief. Well, here is my answer to them. I will not have my commitment to defend this country questioned by those who refused to serve when they could have and who misled America into Iraq.
Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry. It's all over now as the Republicans pack up their tents and return to their respective states with the conclusion of the party's national convention in New York. Real campaigns begin in earnest as of today. Nothing could be more salient than that in the minds of seven Republican governors who are trying to pull out every vote for Bush's reelection. Governors are representing some of the so-called battleground states. Each knows the contest remains extremely close. Among those involved in the effort is the president's brother Jeb Bush, who some pundits believe could be on the short list for a presidential run himself in 2008. Democratic Vice Presidential candidate John Edwards has defended the credentials of the top tier of his ticket against a sea of Republican criticism over the last 4 days. Edwards accused the Republicans of using their convention to attack Kerry rather than offer ideas for solving the nation's most pressing problems. GOP spent all their time and all their energy trying to tear down a patriot, Edwards told a town hall meeting in Philadelphia yesterday. The Edwards get-together was slated to take direct aim at the Republicans for the barrage of criticism of Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry by the likes of Vice President Dick Cheney and retiring Democratic Georgia Senator Zell Miller. Edwards, in assessing the speeches of both, charged that anger is not going to solve the nation's problems. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
All right, we're here live in Egypt where Bam Margera of Jackass fame is attempting to be the first man to skate down the Great Pyramid.
Hey!
And he's off. He's looking pretty good. No. Wait. He's a little unsteady. It looks like he's taking a bit of a tumble.
Bam Margera now has his own exclusive radio show on Sirius. Enjoy Tony Hawk, Kelly Slater, and Kerry Walsh, the top extreme sports stars. All exclusive show only on Sirius. Action 28
coming this fall.
Look at my knee.
This is Earth and Sky. We've been speaking with John Hart, an ecologist at the University of California at Berkeley.
He and his colleagues wanted to know how an increase in air temperature would affect plants and soils in a subalpine meadow in rural Colorado. For the past 14 years, they've used heaters to artificially warm several plots of land in the meadow by 2 degrees Celsius.
In the heated plots, flowering plants are being replaced by sagebrush, a woody shrub that can tolerate more heat and dryness. Sagebrush doesn't store carbon in the soil as well as flowering plants, so that leaves more carbon in the air in the form of the greenhouse gas, carbon dioxide.
So an increase in sagebrush could ultimately lead to more heat trapped by Earth's atmosphere and a further temperature rise. Also, sagebrush leaves absorb more sunlight than the leaves of flowering plants. According to Dr. Hart, both of these feedbacks can make Earth warmer.
My current belief, based on not just my experiments now, but other people's as well, is that our current global warming models are probably underestimating the magnitude of future warming because they ignore these ecological feedbacks.
Our thanks to the National Science Foundation, where discoveries begin. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens. How are you? Working class heroes, dreamers of dreams, hypersensitive people, the faint-hearted. We do have a big umbrella. We do. We'll let them all in. And thank God, from a New Yorker, from someone who lives in the city, that the Republican death cult has left. I was tired of them exploiting 9/11 for their own political purposes. This is an administration. This is a group of Republicans that are sitting on the graves of over 1,000 war dead Americans, of 15,000, 20,000 dead Iraqis, 7,000 injured Americans, 3,000 people we lost right here in New York City. And these guys, because they got nothing else, come to this town and try to build a rally on the corpses of American people. Disgusting. That film strip they played before the president's speech, and these people coming to our city where we had to feel this grief, where we had to, you know, live through the fear and pain and horrendous reality of this tragedy, coming here to exploit it for their own political ends. Disgusting. Despicable. And the righteousness and arrogance to yell at us, to yell at Americans. Zell Miller yelling. George Pataki mocking a true hero in John Kerry to align himself with these, you know, draft-dodging, AWOL, Republican death cult weirdos. Oh, it's such a relief to have him gone.
And Pataki calls himself a moderate. But here's a quick story, Mark. Yesterday, I was on the corner of 34th Street and 7th Avenue as Bush came by with his motorcade, which, by the way, stretched from about 5th Avenue all the way over to 7th. I mean, it was a huge motorcade. You want to hear some angry New York people. We had to stand for 15 minutes and couldn't cross the intersection as more and more people got knotted out at each corner. Because nobody could move.
See that? He's making protesters out of people trying to get to work.
Yeah, trying to get across the street, trying to get back from their lunch hours. I mean, this is like 12:30, just before he did the walkthrough over at the Garden.
And they
like sealed everything off. Nobody could move. The only people who could move were the cops.
Yeah.
It was an amazing sight to see. And if you wanted to hear the comment, I hope all of those people that I heard on that corner are registered to vote and plan on coming out on November 2nd. If so, Kerry will win walking away.
What an incredible, I'm disappointed as a liberal person because I was hoping that, you know, that he would raise my ire above the level that, you know, it usually operates at. But Bush had nothing. He didn't have any of his bully juice. He had nothing to say. They couldn't give him anything complicated to express out of fear that he might botch it, because the other day, 3 or 4 days ago, he spoke the truth in an awkward moment and said that the war on terrorism is unwinnable, which is the truth. And they realized, like, dude, shut up. If you don't tell him that we're going to win, what do we got to run on? Because you got got nothing to show for yourself. Your record has nothing. Right now, listen, from the year 2000, in 2000, there were 31.6 million Americans in poverty. 2004, 35.9 million people in poverty. Let's see, so we had a projection specialist in Morning Sedition speculative department. We had someone crunch the numbers. So if we continue that trend, in 2008, there will be 40.2 million people in poverty. Uninsured Americans in 2000, 39.8 million in 2004, 45 million. If you push that forward with the same arc or degree or graph, 50.2 million will be uninsured in 2008. And there's no indication from what he said last night that this stuff is going to change, because he doesn't change things. He said the same things in 2000 that he said last night, and nothing has been done. All that he has to show for himself is that he's plunged the country into debt. There are more people unemployed. There are more people uninsured. There are more people off of the grid of the unemployment numbers. There are more dead Americans, that for sure. There is more terrorism globally. And all they can do is make fun of a guy that actually served this country in war, and he also had a fight with his own conscience to understand what was right. They mocked that. They are shameless, arrogant, draft-dodging, you know, death cult idiots. And I'm so glad they're gone. And if you're not registered to vote, shame on you. Register to vote, because you guys are the ones that are going to make a difference. And if you're not pissed off, then there's something wrong with you. If you think that your vote doesn't matter, there's something wrong with you. If you want to take democracy back, make it happen. It's up to you. It's your civic duty.
There you go. All over the country. We have, I believe, a special guest who's joining us. Do we not?
Yes, we do. Sorry, I do. I had one of those. I just had a post rant moment. It was like, wow, I need a cigarette.
Post traumatic rant syndrome.
I don't even smoke. Well, the deal is, the city is being fined for holding protesters longer than it should have. Apparently,
24 hours as required by law.
And if you're going to hold them more, you got to tell them why. You got to tell them what the charges are. You got to give them a reason. And also, as you said, if they would have held them even a little longer, they would have been stuck in the system till Monday. But now a judge is taking action. They're fining the city. And on the phone right now, our guest is from the ACLU. Her name is Donna Lieberman. She's the executive director of the New York Civil Liberties Union. And maybe she can flesh this out a little bit for us. Good morning, Donna. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Good morning.
So how are the detainees being treated during the incarceration? Do we have a Guantanamo Bay situation going on?
Well, I think we have a serious problem going on, but we have to remember what Guantanamo Bay has been like.
Yeah.
The city demonstrated the ultimate chutzpah yesterday when a judge ordered them to release everybody who had been held for 24 hours or more by 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And the city, the system, responded to the lawyers for the arrestees who had gone through the system and said no. And they were held in contempt. Funny enough, you know, the city claims that they just couldn't handle so many arrestees. But funny enough, by about 9 o'clock last night, virtually everybody had been released who had been held for 24 hours or more.
Well, that's obviously a lie. They said they were prepared to arrest 10,000 people.
Well, they said they were prepared to arrest 1,000. And, in fact, I criticized them for that, because I said this is a self-fulfilling prophecy. But, you know, I had no way to know when I criticized them that they were going to have the police go out and tell people that here's how you can march lawfully, and then hundreds of people would go march lawfully on the sidewalk on Fulton Street and then get arrested by the police.
Yeah.
Which happened, you know, on more than one occasion.
Mm. Now, Donna Lieberman, you're the executive director of the New York Civil Liberties Union. You're going to be doing a post-convention wrap, I guess, later on this morning.
Right.
What would have happened had these individuals been kept incarcerated, for example, past about 5 or 6 o'clock this evening? Would they have then ended up staying in custody through the weekend?
No, typically, probably not. Typically, the courts are in session around the clock or at least every day. And so people would have been, you know, could have been released. There's a strange, you know, thing going on here. You know, the city was priding itself on the fact that it wasn't forcing people charged with petty offenses to go through the system, to be arraigned and appear in front of a judge. Rather, they were using these desk appearance tickets, which is basically you get arrested, they check your fingerprints, your ID, and they give you a piece of paper to come back in a month or so. Well, they were giving people desk appearance tickets, but what they didn't tell us is that it was going to take 28 hours to get a desk appearance ticket, longer than it would normally take to be arraigned.
Hmm.
So, you know, there's some serious problems about the credibility and the good faith of the city here. They had over a year to plan this, and they set up a detention facility which was filthy, dangerous, full of toxic chemicals, to put people in, and they couldn't set up a system so that people could be processed expeditiously for minor offenses. They failed or refused once the bad arrests were brought to their attention
mm-hmm.
to do not prosecute them or avoid the arrest. You know, I have to say that I have been all week I had been, you know, saying that I think that there's a lot of good news and some bad news about the way the city handled things.
Sure.
But I think that the processing of the arrests and just really leads to an inescapable conclusion that what we were seeing here was a bit of a bait-and-switch operation.
Mm.
We got snookered a little bit.
Yes.
There was preventive detention going on. There were preventive reactive arrests going on.
Yes.
And that is not democracy in action.
Well, but not surprising either, is it, Donna?
Well, you know, call me naive.
Thank you for talking to us, Donna Lieberman.
We really
appreciate
it.
The information. Okay, you guys, listen. We'll be back. I'll tell you what's going on with the kittens. The kittens are fine, and I'm a sucker. And also, we've got Kerry's response to Bush's speech last night. A lot more. Great show today. We're very excited to be back in the bunker. We'll be back in a second here on Air America Radio.
There was dirt, water, and air. And it was good. Once, Planet Check.
Defending the planet, one bead at a time.
Rock the Earth is an environmental advocacy organization that was formed by a group of environmental attorneys and environmental scientists to help defend the planet on behalf of the music industry.
That's Bob Hollis, chair of the advisory board for Rock the Earth. They're on tour with Alanis Morissette.
Now we're touring with the String Cheese Incident as well.
Music has the power to change our world for the better.
Music is a way to reach a lot of people and inspire a lot of people that isn't all about bottom line and profit. It's about thinking about values and thinking about us as a community and putting our planet first rather than profits. Music has a voice and a way to reach young people.
Rock the Earth, defending the planet one beat at a time.
Look for us on the web at rocktheearth.net.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com. The Smith family doesn't have serious first traffic and weather. The Jones family checks first traffic and weather before every trip. The Smith family doesn't have constantly updated traffic and weather conditions.
Are you the convertible, Bob? Great idea.
The Jones family got to where they were going fast and are now having a great time. The Smiths are still stunned. Keep up with the Joneses and get where you're going this holiday weekend. First traffic and weather. Sirius 150 to 159.
We are the email generation. I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. It's safe to say that the majority of us do more corresponding through the computer than through the mail. And our kids have practically grown up on email. In fact, when's the last time they sent a postcard, a letter, or a thank you note? Well, there's something about sending a letter or card the old-fashioned way that makes the person who gets it feel special. So have your kids write a letter to grandma or a thank you note to their teacher or someone else whose day they want to make. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things happen in a circle? The seasons, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. The circle starts when we recycle trash. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content, then buy the highest percentage of it. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Why isn't everybody as awake as we are, Mark Riley? I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. We are back. After the Pig Fest, the Republican death cult sales machine tried to dupe America into thinking that they had something to say about anything. Nothing.
No.
Nothing. Right now, listen, you guys, I'm going to be at Bumbershoot in Seattle this weekend. If you're anywhere in the area, you want to come down, you can go to bumbershoot.com to find out the information. I'll be there Friday and Saturday and Sunday night performing. Those of you who think I'm going to be at the Mother Jones thing at Town Hall have been misled. I canceled that months ago. If they're still using me in the advertisements, I'm sorry. I certainly would have told you before. But if you are in Portland or you are picking me up online in Seattle and you want to come to Bumbershoot, love to see you. I'll try and be funny. Right now, here's my dream diary from last night. I'm at the jail bailing out my dead cat Butch, of course. Plus, all four of the stray cats I took in are there also. Yeah. Butch sneers at me and says, "So, my little consumer, you have come to save me from the pigs?" I say, "Hey, look, just because I brought you cigarettes and bailed you out doesn't mean I'm your good little consumer. How'd you get in here? And how'd they get in here?" Bush said, "I broke into your pathetic flat in Queens, and I liberated them from that prison you call a home. They're magnificent, my four comrades in arms. Incidentally, I have made violent love to all four of them repeatedly this week." I say, "That's great. Thanks for sharing that, Butch." Butch says, "And because you're too bourgeois to give them proper names, I have done it for you. Meet Krugman, Steinem, Trotsky, and Chomsky." I notice Butch's right eye is swollen and puffy, and her little T-shirt is ripped and filthy. I say, "What happened? You look awful, Butch." Butch says, "It's nothing. Me and my gang of four sought to strike a blow against the corrupt Butch cabal by placing a small explosive in the toilet at Planet Hollywood. The gendarmes responded in their usual fascistic manner and arrested us. We clawed them magnificently. Many cops received the stripes of Butch that day. I promise you," I said, "well, look, I'm glad you didn't get killed, even though you're dead already." Butch lit a cigarette and exhaled slowly. "I worry that all our struggle is for naught. Where is the fire, John Kerry? These cretins maul you and you remain on vacation. No great hero ever took time off during a life and death struggle to windsurf. Did Mao windsurf? No. Did Fidel windsurf? No. And he lives in a subtropical climate. Please, will America be brought down by extreme leisure sports?" I say, Butch, don't worry. He'll be back. What do you want from him?" "I want this." Butch pulled out a claw and slashed herself until a stripe of blood ran down her chest. "I want the man who walked into this jungle and met the foe with fire in his eyes and a tempest in his belly. I want a warrior who will reach into the guts of the enemy, pull out his withered heart and crush it in his fist. Slash yourself and let us mingle our blood, John Kerry, and together we will fight to our death and die in each other's arms, spent and magnificent." Butch stopped breathing hard. Then she said, "I need a Band-Aid. And then I need something to eat, and the food in here is obscene." I woke up, and my bed was filled with hot coals. Butch is doing the work. Even in the afterlife, Butch is doing the work. Well, Butch, I'm thankful to say that Kerry did strike back. We're going to play that. We're going to talk to you. But right now, joining me on the phone from Washington, D.C., he's the best-selling author of The Price of Loyalty, George W. Bush, The White House, and The Education of Paul O'Neill. He's been on the show before. We love talking to him. Ron Suskind is here. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very good. We're recovering. You know, thank God the Republican death cult has pulled out. What were your impressions? I mean, let's be honest. So President Bush's acceptance speech was kind of blah, old stuff, right?
Well, you know, he it wasn't a great performance for him, no matter what he said. You know,
yeah.
I think he was a bit in a daze at the start, you know, and he really was sort of slogging along. It was almost like he was doing a policy briefing. And the fact is, almost all the things he said to anyone who's followed policy, well, they're just dusty things that he basically pulled out of the cabinet, stuff that's been around in many cases for years. And the bottom line is that almost everything he says in the speech up until the last sort of jingoistic, you know, patriotic stuff at the end, there's no money for anything.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got the deepest, most significant deficits in the United States history, and they're just going to get bigger in the years to come. You know, this and that and the other, the personal accounts, you know, various things in terms of health savings accounts. There's no money for anything.
Right. So it's all, he's just paying lip service and he's getting a bunch of stupid people worked up.
Well, you know, you watch the damn thing and you start screaming at the television set. You know, what Bush essentially does at the end is he does the same thing he's been saying up to now, which is, trust me. Trust me, it's like, you know, I wrote a book called The Hope in the Unseen. That's what this is about, a hope in the unseen.
Yes.
Things you can't see, things I can't prove, things for which there's no evidence. I'm just saying, have faith in me. At this point, you
and
know,
be afraid.
He cries on stage, which he does up there, which frankly I thought was, you know, probably the thing that he'll say later, thank goodness I did that. You know, I just don't think it was a convincing show.
Yeah. Ron Susskind, we saw during the course of the Democratic convention some level of attacks directed at President Bush personally, but certainly not at the level that we saw during this past week. The whole question of his fitness to serve, which both Zell Miller and Dick Cheney harped on throughout their speeches yesterday. Do you think in hindsight the Democrats should have been tougher during their convention on Bush?
Well, you know, it's a really tough call. It's a question of what do tactics do to you as a person? What do they do to you as a political party? If you, you know, often they will define you. This is the trick. The Republicans simply will do things that the Democrats certainly at this point will not do. The bottom line question is will that be the thing that kills the Democrats at the end of the day? You know, the attacks on Kerry are so vituperative and so personal. I mean, they essentially say this man is unfit not only to be president of the United States, but he's essentially unfit to call himself an American. You know, he's a bad person.
That's it. These
he's
are draft dodgers.
Without any of the basic human qualities that we respect. It, you know, they didn't do that at the Democratic convention because they said it's the president, and to do that would be to demean the office of the presidency. But, my God, Zell Miller, geez, what medication is that guy on?
I wish he was on medication. Clearly he's unmedicated.
Back at the hotel. You know, it's a Zell Miller does an interesting question because the fact is that Zell Miller's just bizarre performance. I mean, people down in Georgia, they're concerned about his health. You know, people are saying, you know, should we, you know, basically call a doctor?
Yeah.
And, you know, these are people who've known him for a long time. Zell Miller had the effect, though, of turning it again on John Kerry. This is the problem. If it ends up being a battle about John Kerry, John Kerry's record, you know, John Kerry's fitness, John Kerry's going to lose the race, plain and simple. And what Zell Miller's attack does, even though it's, you know, my God, it's a wild-eyed, wild-man attack.
Right.
It turns a focus on Kerry.
Yeah,
and it turns that focus on the part of a Democrat, too.
Absolutely. Tactics matter. You know, they mattered at Waterloo. They mattered in North Africa during World War II. They matter. And the fact is that the Republicans are showing, again, a kind of tactical forcefulness that the Democrats you know, have not been able to match. Look, the bottom line is that the Democrats have always been slowed by something admirable, that they are reality-based.
Right.
That they actually think truth matters. That they say, you know, you win this thing like you won high school debates on the debate team.
Yeah.
The Republicans have never been so encumbered.
Yeah.
They say, my God, what are you kidding? Facts have nothing to do with it. I can make these attacks on you, you know. Does the sun rise in the east? I have no proof of that. In fact, it rises in the west.
Well, there's a reason for that. Let's talk some more about it when we come back from this break, Ron. We're going to take some calls as well, 866-303-2270. And we're going to come back with Ron Susskind and some more stuff. Right, Mark?
Yep, we got a Rock Birth of a Nation, the Morning Sedition Business Report, and the Dog of the Week all for you on Air America Radio.
We'll be right back. is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call American Satellite, 1-800-264-0071. That's 1-800-264-0071. Ask how you can get Total Choice Premier free for 4 months, a $360 value. 1-800-264-0071. Call now.
At $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver. Offer ends October 30th, 2000. New customers only. Annual programming commitment required.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Commandos have now seized control of a school in southern Russia where militants have been holding hundreds of hostages. This, according to a Russian news agency, the assault came after explosions boomed from the area and dozens of hostages, including naked children, fled the building. Reports say 160 kids have been hurt. Some five militants have been killed. Florida residents are bracing for the second largest weather event to hit the state in fewer than 4 weeks. Hurricane Francis is on its way. It's virtually twice the size of the recent deadly Hurricane Charlie. Scores are evacuating parts of the state. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry, in a rare move, held a midnight rally in Ohio on the heels of the Republican National Convention in New York. This to respond to a barrage of criticism he's received by President Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney in the last 48 hours. And the CIA is rejecting the latest criticism aimed its way over the Abu Ghraib prison scandal. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
George Condorama and Dick, they're all in town to party. Convention chairs and delegates, speech is called the Grand Authority.
Okay, can we make sure all the balloons drop this time?
Yes, sirree, folks, it's the Republicans in the Big Apple, New York City, for their convention. RNC coverage from the left side on Sirius Left 143, Air America 144, and Sirius LQ 149.
Here you have the RNC for the Grand Authority.
This is Earth and Sky. We've had many, many questions from people over the last 2 months about the bright object in the east before dawn.
For example, in early July, Chris Rubenstrunk in Phoenix, Arizona wrote, "I've seen a brilliant object in the eastern sky. It was so bright that the first time I saw it, I thought it was an incoming plane. The object has appeared in the same location for the last week."
Chris and everyone else who's seeing this object in the eastern pre-dawn sky, it's the planet Venus. This is the brightest planet visible from Earth. It orbits the Sun one step inward from our orbit. Venus crossed in front of the Sun on June 8th for the first time in 120 years. Venus doesn't cross the Sun's face very often, according to our human sense of time, but all of us on Earth can see Venus often. It'll be the brightest object in the east before dawn through the end of this year.
There's another planet right next to Venus this week. It's a world being seen close up right now by the orbiting Cassini spacecraft. Saturn was shown by Cassini to have rings in a variety of pastel colors. Cassini also found Saturn's day to be about 6 minutes longer than earlier measurements indicated. This planet now appears to spin once on its axis about every 10 hours, 45 minutes. So look for golden Saturn near brilliant Venus in the east before dawn.
And for sky charts, come see us at earthsky.org. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Okay, we're going to play Kerry's response to Bush, you know, in just a few minutes. We got Ron Suskind on the telephone. He's the author of The Price of Loyalty, George W. Bush, The White House, and The Education of Paul O'Neill. Great book about, it's the one about where George W. Bush gives everyone nicknames.
Yeah,
Bongo.
Yeah.
That's Mark Riley. I'm Mark Maron. You listen to Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. And I'm going to do this sans toy. All right, since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 66. Leaders of Iraq. We read a report that says your neighbor, Iran, is going full tilt to develop nuclear weapons. On the face of it, that may sound scary, but really this is a fantastic opportunity for Iraq. When have we ever lied to you? A nuclear Iran means that now you'll get your own Cold War. Congratulations. You know what that means? It means a giant military buildup, way beyond what you actually need. You can't just sit there with your weenie hanging out. I mean, Iran's got nukes. And who will sell you all those cool new weapons? Well, we will. Yeah. Of course, Uncle Sam is the Cold War expert since 1949. Come on down and we'll make you a deal. Act now, we'll throw in a few thousand military advisors for half price. Now I can see some of you are wondering, when do we get nuclear weapons? Short answer, you don't. Or at least not until they're obsolete. Don't worry, we'll send you conventional weapons till the camel comes home. But you can't be trusted with nukes yet. You understand? Now, when that day comes, when you've given up all that Allah stuff and learned to protect your true gods, Bechtel and Halliburton and Archer Daniels Midland, then maybe we can start talking about nukes. But we can sell you some nice tanks today, and we'll throw in LoJack for free. How do you like that? Until then, good luck, God bless. This is day 66 of Iraq, birth of a nation. Live free or die. Sorry about that, Ron. I'm sorry you had to go through that.
My eyebrows are singing.
All right, Ron, let's go right to a car, because I think he can launch us into the discussion I want to have. Carlos, how are you?
What's up, Carlos?
Hey, good morning.
What's on your mind, buddy?
I think there was so much disgraceful and vituperative behavior at this convention that there's like three or four things that I think if we focus on them, or maybe pick one, I wanted to ask Mr. O'Neill, maybe he could help us pick one.
No, that's Susskind.
Susskind, too. That's all right.
Yeah, okay, go on. They passed out Purple Heart Band-Aids on the floor of the convention. I think any veteran would get angry about that. Second, when Bush said this war was unwinnable, Mark Lasko came on and totally lied about the context, saying it was something about signing a peace armistice. There was nothing about that when Bush initially made his comments to Matt Lauer. And thirdly, I think more importantly, you mentioned it last week, there was an article reported in Britain, I think in the Observer, that George Bush was wearing an Air Force medal that he had never won. This was part of his dress-up, I think, on the Air Force carrier. I think that this can't help but alienate people, and I wonder, you know, the media is going to go in this herd mentality, oh, it was a great convention, but I think there could be some blowback that could boomerang on them, and I wondered which of these, if you think we should, you know, concentrate on and harp on.
Okay, thanks a lot, Carlos. I think the medal was actually in a photograph of him when he was with the Air National Guard.
Yeah.
At the time we reported it, we weren't sure whether it was factual, but there are some reports coming back that it may have been. We're not definite about that, but it is out there. Ron, can you address any of this stuff?
Absolutely, Carlos. I mean, I think the media is in a hold-on-one-minute mode right now. You know, I think once everyone gets manipulated so, you know, regally and so, cynically for so many days, that goes for the American public, too. They say, now, hold on a second. And, you know, and the fact is that I think over the next couple of days, you're going to see lots of stories. There's stories in the Washington Post and New York Times today saying Zell Miller utterly misrepresented Kerry's record. The president utterly misrepresenting, you know, certainly what Kerry was doing in terms of denying, the $87 billion to the troops in Iraq. He didn't vote for denying them aid. He essentially said, I want to give aid to the troops, but some of this money, including for the reconstruction of Iraq, the administration has no plan for how to spend it. That's reality.
So it was a protest vote. It was a protest.
To assert itself.
It was a protest vote.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, these guys are botching this reconstruction of Iraq. They have no plan at all. As a senator, my job is to say, now, wait a minute.
Right.
You know, that's reality, and I think Americans, the issues are so central and important here, Mark. That Americans are saying, look, we really need to know what the facts are here, and I think lots of Americans are finally doing that.
Yes, absolutely. Now, the thing I wanted to cover with you real quickly, I just want your insight into it, is that there seems to be a definite schism within the party of the Republicans themselves. You have moderates and you have these ultra-conservatives who seem to be, you know, sort of, you know, wagging the moderates.
You're absolutely right.
And what I want to know is they tried to really capture it as if, like, hey, they appropriated the liberal idea of the umbrella big enough to sort of like, you know, we've got all types of people. You know, we've got imperialists and we've got, you know, really stupid, bigoted extremists. Now, is there any way that the Democrats can maneuver this, can use it for their benefit to create a bigger schism within that party?
Absolutely. You know, the fact is that inside of the Republican Party, there's a war going on. There's a war going on between Republican pragmatists, who Paul O'Neill was one, Colin Powell,
Christy Whitman, other folks in the administration, who basically are old-style, locked-ribbed Republicans who, frankly, most people could have a conversation with because they say the same thing Democrats say. Are there facts here? What are they? And what does that mean in terms of what we ought to do? The Republican Party, though, is not being guided by them. It's another crowd, as you say.
Right.
You know, very religious, faith-based. There are good people and there are evil people, not just around the world, but here in America. That's a very different idea. Deep deficits, adventurism abroad, real men go to Iran next. That's a very different idea. It's a very radical idea, different from anything we've seen in modern history in this country.
Well, those are the people also, because of their religious beliefs and their extremism, are willing to believe the conspiracy theories put forth by this administration in relation to Kerry and liberalism and everything else.
Absolutely. The whole point of faith is that it's evidence in the unseen.
Yes, yes.
It's that it is not born of factual, rigorous analysis that has always guided the ship of state in the United States, or at least when it is sailed properly.
You're talking crazy intellectual talk, Ron.
Yeah.
Crazy intellectual talk, right.
You're a dangerous guy, Ron.
Complicated. There you go. That complex thing that the president does, they say that's his best line from the speech. Well, John Kerry thinks that's complex. It is complex, but the Americans are up to this complexity. I mean, it's not rocket science in most cases. It takes you about 3 or 4 minutes just to sit down and lay out the facts, and many of the issues become clear.
Well, they're not even
do that. Not
right.
To,
they're not even willing to understand how their democracy works.
Well, you know, because you know, the whole dialogue that's going on here is one of, do you trust me? Do you have faith in me? Because God has faith in me.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people all over America on the religious right who believe that God is in the White House, that the president essentially is God's messenger.
Right, and I don't want to be a mystic, Ron, but right now off the coast of Florida, there is a hurricane with the name Francis that's distracting voters from the Republican
Party. Yeah, really.
Francis, is that a good person or a bad person?
Do you want to hang out or do you got to go?
I can hang out, sure.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Okay, we're going to play a Kerry Bite when we come back. We're going to take a couple more calls if we can. We're going to stay on the phone with Ron Suskind here on Air America Radio.
The blockbuster event of the year. All the thrill. All the chill. Romance. Comedy. Drama.
John.
Marcia.
John.
Marcia.
John.
Marcia.
It's fun for the whole family. All your favorite E! Entertainment TV shows. All on Sirius E! Entertainment Radio 136.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment.
Russell Trey, my guest, the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. Now, that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet. Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far. So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes. That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed. Yeah. Well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose. Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite. Get out. Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Hi, everybody. It's
me, Joe DiMassina, for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. I'm here to remind you, if you celebrate, then designate. Because if you booze and cruise, you lose.
We can be strong and do anything if we dare to dream.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Thank God we're back in the bunker here at Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning. And what better music than Chuck D?
Great.
This time no more.
It's great.
Our colleague.
It rocks. Ron Suskind is on the phone. You guys are on the phone. And right now, before we go back to Ron Suskind and you guys, it's time to listen to the Democratic presidential candidate, Senator John Kerry, giving it back to the dummies late last night, in the middle of the night, comes out swinging. Wake up, America. Let's hear it, Kayla.
You all saw the anger and the distortion of the Republican convention. For the past week, they have attacked my patriotism and even my fitness to serve as commander-in-chief. Well, here is my answer to them. I will not have my commitment to defend this country questioned by those who refused to serve when they could have and who misled America into Iraq. The Vice President called me unfit for office last night. Well, I'm going to leave it up to the voters to decide whether 5 deferments make someone more qualified than 2 tours of duty. We'll decide about that. But let me tell you in no uncertain terms what makes someone unfit for office and unfit for duty. Misleading our nation into war in Iraq makes you unfit to lead our country. Doing nothing while this nation loses millions of jobs makes you unfit to lead this country. Letting 45 million Americans go without health care for 4 years makes you unfit to lead this country. Letting the Saudi royal family control the price of oil for Americans makes you unfit to lead this country. Handing out billions of dollars in contracts without a bid to Halliburton while you're still on the payroll makes you unfit to lead this country. That, my friends, is the record of George Bush and of Dick Cheney, and that only begins to scratch the surface.
John Kerry burning the midnight oil, kicking it out.
Yeah.
Got Jeff, a Vietnam vet in Pennsylvania. What's up, buddy?
Hi, Jeff. You got a question for Ron?
Well, one thing I really think, Edwards' rally here Wednesday went really well.
Okay.
Good turnout, enthusiasm. The question I have, and I think the two Americas that Edwards is talking about really plays right into the Albert Grade. Now's the time for you guys to start bringing up. What they're doing is they're going to punish a bunch of kids that were following policy while Wolfowitz and the suits and the other Ken Lays in the Pentagon are going to walk away from this and actually cash in probably with a job at Halliburton.
Right, right.
And I really think you guys on Air America really ought to get into the personalities of these kids.
Okay.
Right. Good point.
Good point. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Okay, take care, Jeff. Now, Mark Riley. He's talking about, we've talked to a lot of vets on the show who have a certain amount of, some of them are very, questioning the war. They're very unhappy. Now, Ron, you had a question, Mark.
Well, Ron, I think I had heard or read you, say, perhaps that if John Kerry has to continue to defend himself against these attacks about his fitness, he will lose the election?
Yeah, the point was that if the subject becomes John Kerry, all about Kerry, and Kerry having to defend himself, be on the defensive all the way through the next month, he's going to be in trouble. I think what Kerry did last night was just what he has to do. Frankly, I think he should have stopped after the whole unfit, unfit, unfit thing and walked off the stage to, you know, to thunderous applause. But in any event, just what John Kerry did is a different kind of thing than John Kerry has been doing, which is go right back at them. You know, so that it is thrown back on Dick Cheney and the president and their record. They have a record to run on. Either they're going to fly or fall on that record, and that's what Kerry was doing, as opposed to it being about Kerry constantly defending himself against attacks, 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 and
right.
not doing it. So he only throws it back on them.
Thanks a lot, Ron Suskind. I appreciate you being here.
Appreciate it. Have a good weekend, Ron.
Hey, can I tell you one other thing?
Sure. Yeah.
The paperback of The Price of Loyalty is out, and what I did is I put in internal documents of the administration. Each one of these things is terrific ammunition for those who believe in a fact-based dialogue.
There you go.
The one from O'Neill? The ones from O'Neill?
Yeah, documents from O'Neill and all over the government.
Great, yeah, we're going to plug that. Yeah, you can get that on our website. Thanks, Ron.
Good luck, guys.
Thanks
Take
a lot.
Care.
You too. You can get that at the website at discount, morningsedition.com. We're coming back with the dog of the week. We're coming back with the business report. We're coming back with more guests and more dark fun here on Air America Radio.
Get ready. The revolution is about to start. The revolution starts now. The all-new studio album by singer-songwriter Steve Earle is available now.
Yeah, the revolution starts now.
The New York Times says Steve Earle is one of rock and roll's most beloved rebels, a roguish singer and songwriter who loves Emma Goldman and hates John Ashcroft. The New York Daily News says Steve Earle makes politics as personal as love. You can order the CD and listen to some tracks from The Revolution Starts Now at Air America's website, www.airamericaradio.com. Don't miss the revolution. Order Steve Earle's new CD from Artemis Records today at www.airamericaradio.com. The Revolution Starts Now is also available at all Borders books and music stores.
The revolution starts now.
All right, we're here live in Egypt where Bam Margera of Jackass fame is attempting to be the first man to skate down the Great Pyramid.
Hey!
And he's off. He's looking pretty good. No, no, no. Wait, wait. He's a little unsteady. It looks like he's taking a bit of a tumble. Oh, God,
Bam Margera now has his own exclusive radio show on Sirius. And join Tony Hawk, Kevin Slater, and Jerry Walsh, the top extreme sports stars. All of exclusive show only on Sirius. Action 28.
Coming this fall.
My knee.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found the need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
You say your vehicle has airbags, high-impact bumpers, and you always wear your seatbelt. So far, so good. But if you should cut in front of an 18-wheeler on the highway and make that truck jam on his brakes, all of your high-tech safety features just might sound like this. It can take a truck twice as long to stop as a car. For your own safety, give those big rigs a lot of room. Remember, tangle with a truck and you lose. A public service message from the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
Past the hour. Good morning. We're back. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
On Mornings. Oh, there you go. There's the opening bell, and that means it's time for the Morning Sedition Friday Business Report. Investors, this week's financial news is very encouraging. According to Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan, our country's aging population will wreck the economy unless drastic changes are made to Social Security and Medicare, meaning we have to raise the age for retirement, and that's good for business. You see, there's an advantage to keeping withered old men and women on the payroll. Life has beaten them down. They long for human contact. And because of that, they will willingly suffer the type of workplace humiliation, indignity, and abuse that uppity young people don't have to. Look at Greenspan, for instance. He's 78 years old. Do you actually think he likes explaining the basics of third grade math to George W. Bush? No, but at least he gets to talk to somebody. It doesn't really matter if nothing sinks in. It's just nice to have company. Kind of like being with an anxious dog that's always bumping into furniture and eating the rug. Old people like that sort of thing. And for someone like Greenspan, after a long, isolated existence spent living with nothing but broken dreams, a briefcase, and denied sexual urges, that can mean a lot. In summation, we here at the Friday Business Report heartily recommend buying stock in any type of business that completely drains workers of their humanity and self-respect, preferably the entertainment industry. This has been the Morning Business, Morning Edition Friday Business Report.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now you know what time it is? It's time for Mark Riley's Dog of the Week.
You guys are scaring the hell out of me.
That's a sad howl. I need
that
my
sure
machine
is.
Back. Where's my machine?
That is a really sad howl.
I want my machine.
Yeah, we'll get it for you.
Lay into it, Riley.
One speaker at this week's Republican National Convention got way more than his share of attention, and he isn't even a member of the GOP, allegedly. Georgia Senator Zell Miller made his bones as lieutenant governor to arch segregationist Lester Maddox. Unfair to bring that up? Not after you saw his speech Wednesday. Miller went over the top, way over the top, in his attacks on Democrats and candidate John Kerry. Do Democrats have, quote, a manic obsession to bring down the president? Hello, Zell. We're in an election cycle. Beating Bush is the whole point. Yet Miller's speech was only part of the story. Afterward, he engaged in a series of media interviews that can best be described as whack. Challenging people to duels, telling people, get out my face, we'll get you headlines. Those headlines ought to be questioning how this idiot got his gig in the first place. Yeah. Even some of those Zell Miller was brown-nosing, couldn't get next to his behavior. Laura Bush says she and the president don't share his point of view. Some in the animal kingdom like the taste of red meat, especially when it's raw.
Mm-hmm.
Zell Miller gave Republicans plenty of that and spitballs, too. Eat up, Senator. You're hands down the Morning Sedition Dog of the Week. Lester Maddox is probably applauding in his grave.
No kidding.
That.
And you know what? Here's how I know politics is just politics. Paul Begala, who I like sometimes, could not pull his face out of Zell Miller's butt yesterday on the live crossfire from the diner. I couldn't believe that. Even in the light of everything that guy said, Begala was sort of like, I love that man. Love him.
That was he wanted to go to break so we could get to some of the turkey club
that
they were serving in the diner.
I guess it, but that Zell Miller at some time was a fairly, you know, I don't know what. But
well,
I
just
mean,
3 years ago, he was speaking about the same John Kerry that he savaged in laudatory terms.
Celebrating him. I just don't, I have no idea, you know, what changes in a guy like that. Aside from he's retiring and maybe this was building up in him. Or
his medications,
you know,
maybe?
His, well, his lack of medications or that, you know, he's trying to kiss up for something. I'm not sure what it is.
Therapy? No therapy?
Well, I just don't. What do you think? Why do you think he would turn like that? I mean, as a political theorist.
I think it's a parting shot at a party that he probably feels has not done well by him or not done right by him, and probably in some small way. Remember, it was Newt Gingrich who got all upset when Bill Clinton wouldn't let him sit on the right part of the plane, you know, where he was comfortable.
Some of this stuff comes down to just that, isn't it? It's just petty, behind-the-scenes stuff that, you know, that none of us know about but cause tremendous waves and tremors throughout the world.
Well, you know, I sincerely hope that those people that Zell Miller aimed that rant at actually look and pay close attention to what he was saying, because if they do, they won't pay any more attention to Zell Miller in life. In the next hour of Morning Sedition, Salon.com's Mary Jacoby, Bush's college professor grades his speech, the new jobs numbers, and Recovery Corner, all for you here on Air America Radio.
are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. And you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad, please!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from...
The cat!
The cat! Oh, and the neighbor's new car!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here! You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite fresh.
Satellite fresh.
Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Still too early to determine how much of a bounce President Bush and his re-election campaign have received from the Republican National Convention. Early polls showed no movement at all, but Democratic rival John Kerry is wasting no time and is leaving nothing to chance. This as he redirects the course of his campaign. Kerry, in a rare move, held a midnight rally on the heels of the Republican Convention to slam the Bush-Cheney team for what has been described as a distortion of his record. Kerry charged Bush with making empty promises during his acceptance speech last night. Democratic presidential nominee cited Bush's record in Ohio with regard to employment.
Ohio lost 230,000 jobs. Ohio lost 112,000 jobs from the date after the recession ended, after he had promised a new round of 1 million jobs. My friends, it's too late 2 months before an election to come leaping into a convention and make a bunch of promises when you haven't even kept the promises that you made before.
Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry in Ohio last night. A former Texas official may cause some problems for the Bush-Cheney campaign in the days ahead, just shy of the time voters will be checking to the polls. Former Lieutenant Governor of Texas Ben Barnes is reportedly on a precipice of a breach of silence. Barnes, according to reports, is ready to tell the world what role he played in helping George W. Bush in winning a coveted slot in the Texas Air National Guard back in 1968. Sources say Barnes has already been interviewed by Television 60 Minutes. Barnes says he's ashamed now, some 36 years later, of his role in assisting the president escape a tour of duty in Vietnam. Reports say California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has the oil and gas giant Chevron Texaco Corporation in his hip pocket. The company has reportedly managed to influence the new star of the Republican Party to help shape such key recommendations as the removal of restrictions on oil refineries. Reports say many corporations and interest groups have participated in the governor's reform plan known as the California Performance Review. Democrat John Kerry is taking the gloves off with his presidential campaign in the final gear before the November election. His campaign has released a series of television ads hitting President Bush where he's most vulnerable. Kerry said that he is committed to turning the nation's economy around in the latest ads. He also pledges to help ease the burden of the nation's middle class. Kerry also charges Bush again with siding with special interest groups, including the infamous Swift Boat Veterans for Truth. Kerry slams Bush over his insistence that the economy is just fine. Democratic presidential candidate maintains America can do better. And President Bush last night preached to the converted at New York's Madison Square Garden with hope that his vision for a second term will resonate with the undecided voters who are watching his address from home. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized Bendy with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. This month comes in like a lion and leaves like a lamb. So how do you prepare for Mother Nature's and her Well, when I come back, I'll tell you the forecast for driving in unpredictable weather. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com. Changing her mind is a woman's prerogative, so Mother Nature's in top form. Though you can't change spring weather's grab bag, you can take charge of your vehicle's health by having a semi-annual inspection performed. Include, 1, your cooling system, flush radiators, and change coolant. 2, tires. Internal air pressure changes with outside air temperature, so check for recommended PSI. And 3, windshield wipers. Winter-worn wipers can leave you defenseless against unexpected spring showers. Now, go enjoy spring weather. Though Mother Nature may roar, your vehicle will purr. I'm Bobby Likens. Likens, you'll love us.
A pop quiz for parents with third-grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school and know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here. Good morning, philosopher kings and queens, geniuses, the faint-hearted haters and the hated, the hip, to everybody. The umbrella is big. We want everybody to listen, even if you're uncomfortable. We want
that's right, especially if you're uncomfortable.
Let me tell you something. Finally, the Republican death cult is leaving our city. The people that are building their entire platform on the corpses of Americans of all different kinds, those who are in Iraq, those who were lost tragically in the World Trade Center. This is a shameless administration of draft deferrers and non-volunteers who are building their entire reputation on the death of Americans for their own selfish purposes. Now, given that aside, my kittens, all right, look, I'm having an inner struggle with kittens, okay? I've got 4 feral kittens in my apartment. I trapped them. I brought them in so they wouldn't eat out of the garbage. All right. Now, I'm starting to realize, as I said before, that this is a pathetic cry for love on my part, because these kittens, they will eat. One of them will eat out of my hand. They all eat. They all go in the box occasionally. I don't know what to do with them. Nobody wants them. I've gotten a lot of advice from all you guys out there. I appreciate it. But the bottom line is I have wild animals in my house that are probably going to be wild animals for the rest of their lives. So what am I going to do with them? I chased them around yesterday. I was going to catch them and bring them somewhere, maybe put them back outside and catch them again later to get them fixed. But no, it looks like because I'm such a sucker and a soft-hearted sap that I just look at these dumb little animals, angry kittens, who I've grown to love, and I'm willing to accept their wildness and accept that they will never come up to me and love me just so I can look at them hanging out underneath my kitchen table. So that's where I'm at now. I'm leaving them in the hands of my neighbor to feed them and hopefully stop them or, you know, clean up after them while I'm gone. I'm going to Seattle to do Bumber Shoot. If you're into that, if you're planning on seeing me at Town Hall, that's not happening. And if they publicized it, it's their fault, and I apologize because I'm not going to be at Town Hall. I'm going to be at Bumber Shoot.
I told you should put the cats on the roof, man.
Dude, that's you should have heard what Nick DiPaolo and the guys over at Colin Quinn show said.
Drown him!
Exactly. Yeah, put him in a bag. And I'm like, dude, you guys don't understand. Look, now, here we go. The thing is, Bush spoke last night, and the truth of the matter is Kerry responded, and we're going to play that in a few minutes. But, the deal is with Bush and all these guys is their military records mean nothing because they don't have any. And George Bush, especially, has no military record. There's speculation that he was AWOL. Now there's speculation that he wore medals in a photo that may or may not have been his. And that stuff is pretty petty, but not the AWOL thing. The idea that this guy, we already know that Lieutenant Governor Barnes, admitted recently that he will admit on 60 Minutes, and I believe our guests will get into this a little bit as well, that, he got this guy out of doing any real hard service.
Yeah, now he was in the service. We don't want to say that he has no record because Texas Air National Guard. But he has no combat record.
But there was
He can't claim that.
Right. Now, there was also been a lot of speculation. Well, was he AWOL? Was he not AWOL? Well,
yeah.
Our guest did a tremendous story on Salon.com that you should really go check out. It is all about the political affiliations of George Bush Sr. early on in his career and with somebody that actually tried, was assigned and as a favor to the family, babysat George Bush in Alabama. And there is some indication because of this fella's widow that who is speaking the truth now that that maybe and George Bush did not really show up for duty or ever put
that sounds like it.
So let's welcome Mary Jacoby to the show. Good morning, Mary.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
So great to talk to you. When I read this story last night, I was so excited. So can you set it up a little bit? Who are the Allisons?
Yeah, and first, and just for my journalistic integrity,
sure.
I just want to say, too, that it's hard to say that he was AWOL.
I understand.
That's a specific military term, right. Okay, but there is the question of whether he showed up for his duty in the Alabama National Guard, where he was transferred to work for a Senate campaign in 1972.
Mm-hmm.
And the Allisons, the late Jimmy Allison was one of the early political mentors to the elder Bush,
yeah.
And a friend and a political consultant.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife, third wife, and her name was Linda Allison, and she
So the idea is that George Bush was acting up in Texas, acting belligerent, causing trouble for his family, and his family basically said, "Hey, Jimmy, could you babysit this troubled child for us for a little while? Because he's starting to make us look bad here
in
Texas."
Well, Jimmy was a very trusted friend, and he has been dead now for 26 years, so that's why we don't know his name. But at the time, he was a very close friend and political ally of the Bushes, and Bush Sr., according to Jimmy's widow, Bush Sr. called Jimmy up in Alabama and said, paraphrasing,
mm-hmm.
"Look, basically, my son, Georgie," who they called him then, "Georgie, is out of control in Houston. He's, become a problem to us, and we would appreciate it if you would find him a job on this campaign you're running,
mm-hmm.
and keep an eye on him." And
this was when he was in the National Guard.
Well, he was still in guard duty, yes, and he was under circumstances that I'm not still clear, and I'm not sure anybody's really clarified yet. But he transferred from Texas to the Alabama National Guard, which in itself was unusual, I think, to get a transfer like that. And the issue that has arisen is whether or not he completed or showed up for duty while in Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Mary Jacoby, it also seems from some people's recollections of his time there and his time working in the campaign of Winton Red Blunt that he didn't do a whole heck of a lot of work, huh?
No. And again, the reason for bringing this long ago episode up, in addition to the guard duty issue, is that the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth group has made John Kerry's record and conduct in the same time period an important campaign issue.
Mm-hmm.
And they have examined his Vietnam record before and after. And so, it's fair game to look at what the president was doing at the same time. And no, the accounts are legion that he wasn't working real hard on that campaign.
So now let me just, I just want to understand this. So basically what you're saying and what I seem to be true, see, is that, you know, George Bush was an out of control, entitled, spoiled little frat boy that was running around Houston, drinking, carousing, getting into trouble, driving his father crazy. So they basically say, look, you know, we can't handle you, you know, and they send him away, and he's supposed to be in the National Guard. So his father pulls some strings to get him taken care of and move his guard duty to Alabama. And this woman that you interviewed basically says that she has no recollection of the guy even putting on his uniform.
Yeah, I mean, those are your words, but I would say that they were reflected in the interviews I did.
Okay.
And, of course, she wouldn't necessarily be in a position to, you know, verify. I mean, she's not.
Right.
But, you know, it was, she saw him a fair bit, and was, her husband was not only supposed to be looking after Georgie, and she never heard him talk about it or wear a uniform, certainly not.
Interesting. Mary, it seems as though the Allison family kind of got blown off by the Bushes not long after this, huh?
Yes, and I think this was part of Linda Allison's motivation in speaking with me, which she didn't do readily. I mean, it took a little bit of talking with her. But I think she feels hurt and bewildered still after all these years about what happened, and she's not quite sure. And there's probably another side to this story from the Bushes. Of course, we're not going to obtain that. But for some reason, the Bushes just pushed them out of their circle.
Because they're cold-blooded, politically ambitious, evil people.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say that, but if you want to. She believes it had something to do with Jimmy, her husband's opposition to George Sr. taking a position at becoming chairman of the Republican
National Committee
under Nixon, because he had been running the Republican National Committee.
Right, and he didn't like Nixon.
Right, and he said these are bad people.
All right. You know, Mary, we got to go. I'm sorry. We're going to tell everyone to read your story. It was great talking to you.
Appreciate it.
You know, it's good that you maintain your integrity as a journalist, because I was...
We don't have to.
I was only speculating. Thanks for being here. Mary Jacoby, the story is on Salon.com. We're going to be back with the Palm Pilot. We've got Bush's professor. We've got Kerry's reaction to Bush's speech right out of the gate, just so you can get a great sort of like fighting Democrat truth buzz here on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Larry Meisterich. I'm a filmmaker and a citizen, not a politician. I believe passionately in the freedom of expression, an idea that is increasingly threatened by today's administration. Films play an important role in bringing social issues to the public. Yet fewer films receive distribution today, especially those expressing an alternative point of view. Seven conglomerates now control which films you get to see. Film Movement and Air America Radio are trying to change all that. Subscribe to Film Movement at airamericaradio.com and receive a new, first-run film to own on DVD each month. Award-winning films with strong social messages. Important films such as Falling Angels with Miranda Richardson about the American family in the 1960s, and The Party's Over about the state of democracy in America. These films are exclusively available through Film Movement. We thank you for your support in our mission to bring alternative voices in film to America. Please visit airamericaradio.com and help make a difference.
All right, we're here live in Egypt where Bam Margera of Jackass fame is attempting to be the first man to skate down the Great Pyramid.
Hey!
And he's off. He's looking pretty good. No. Wait. He's a little unsteady. It looks like he's taking a bit of a tumble out.
Bam Margera now has his own exclusive radio show on Sirius. Enjoy Tony Hawk, Kevin Slater, and Kerry Walsh, the top extreme sports stars. Follow the exclusive show only on Sirius. Action 28.
Coming this fall.
What's my name?
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Ambassador Joseph Wilson, you got a front row seat into what it's like to be a subject of media coverage. How did you rate the media coverage of your op-ed piece and the aftermath? What did they get right? What did they get wrong?
Well, you know, I've been watching the media coverage really in the run-up to the debate on going to war. My own sense in the run-up to the war was that all of us let the side down. I think that we had an obligation, our Congress, our investigative journalists, those of us who attempted to speak out, really had an obligation to discuss fully this decision on whether or not we were going to send 130,000 people to invade, conquer, now occupy Iraq before we got these guys there. And I regret very much that there were so few of us who were willing to stand up and be counted in that particular debate.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kix Brooks.
I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brooks.
And Dunn for Rad. And I've got a four-letter word for you. Don't, as in don't drive drunk.
Yep, and I got a three-letter word for you, as in get. Get the keys.
When you see someone who's about to drive under the influence,
get the keys.
Because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
My heart is lost.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
While doing the show toilets.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay. I don't need a crutch. I don't need a crutch. Again, thank you for all the encouragement and information to help me with these kittens. I've grown to like the kittens. I'm going to stay with it for a little while. And I'll stop chasing them around the house every time I think that I want them out. I've got to be consistent. I've got to learn how to be a good cat daddy and not expect too much from them. People are telling me that I'm going to get, you know, enough of this. Mark Riley, good morning.
Good morning. And by the way, thanks to all the people that are sending us information, because a lot of people send us really good stuff.
And we look at it. We look at
it. Yeah, we check it out.
You may feel like we're not paying attention, but we do pay attention. Of course, the stuff that you say that's negative and mean,
we throw it out.
Yeah. Well,
we spit on the computer.
I first process it through my heart, feel bad about myself, and then throw it out. Not anymore, man. I'm strong.
There you go.
I'm a strong cat daddy.
There you go.
Hey, here we go. This is Ramon came by earlier. Apparently, he brought us lunch. I don't know. It's weird having him around, but I'd like him to go back to Washington.
I don't know. I heard he got a room at the Plaza.
Wow. Party in Ramon's room. Here is the schedule for today. Here's the schedule for the president. 8 o'clock a.m. Wake up in New York. Stay on message. Pashman must be stopped. John Kerry is soft on Pashman. 10 a.m. Call Zell Miller. Thank him for Wednesday night's performance as Bad Cop. The crazy cracker vote is ours. 12 a.m. Leave New York. Mission accomplished. Note, never come back here, even if something happens on October 8th at the stock exchange, like it said in yesterday's memo. 2 p.m. Speak at rally, Moosic, Pennsylvania. Tell them, actually fighting in a war clouds your judgment. 4 p.m. Speak at rally, West Allis, Wisconsin. Tell them, actually volunteering for war clouds your judgment. 5:30 p.m. Speak at rally, Cedars Rapids, Iowa. Tell them, this man doesn't have enough sense to stay out of danger. I know danger when I see it. I never saw it, but I'll know. 9:10 p.m. arrive in Cleveland for overnight. Tell them, New York was nothing like you. Beautiful, sure, but so hard and cold. I couldn't wait to get back in the arms of simple, easy Ohio. 10 p.m. bedtime. Check to see if Dan Pashman is under your bed.
Yahtzee,
you. If you don't know what that means, it's something Dan is prone to say when he gets excited or when he's it's a sort of like a slam dunk thing.
What when he hears the word Springsteen?
Yeah, or no, it's sort of like hello. Instead of that, Pashman's like Yahtzee. We're making some sort of mythic character out of Dan Pashman, the overexcitable Dan. You know what we?
We overexcitable.
We are driven by Dan's optimism. If we were to come into this office one day and Dan would be like, oh, no, guys, I'm just not feeling it. We'd be like, wait a minute. Oh, my God. Wait, if you're
must
not,
be about time for us to leave.
He gives us this, like, this energy. Let's get on with these, Kerry. Let's hit back, Riley. I want to hit back.
Kerry is hitting back, and that's what everybody has been looking for from him. It looks as though the strategic change he's made in his campaign has started to work. You know, this happened during the primaries, Mark, when he got rid of his campaign manager, brought in some new people, and really reinvigorated his campaign. I think he knew he had to do a kind of course correction. A lot of Democrats, a lot of his supporters were arguing that he wasn't forceful enough in refuting the Swift vote, allowed it to fester. It hurt him in the polls. Even James Carville the other day said that his research was saying that the Swift vote stuff was having an impact. So John Kerry, in the wee hours of the morning in Springfield, Ohio, gathered together 15,000 people
at like past midnight.
Unbelievable. And he's launching this bus tour. He's going across several of the swing states. But here he's talking about, we played earlier the situations and his response to how George W. Bush has tried to portray him in terms of his military service, in terms of his being unfit to be president. Now he tackles Bush on the domestic agenda. Let's hear that.
Ohio lost
230,000 jobs. Ohio lost 112,000 jobs from the date after the recession ended, after he had promised a new round of 1 million jobs. My friends, it's too late 2 months before an election to come leaping into a convention and make a bunch of promises when you haven't even kept the promises that you made before.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's
talk about those promises that he made before, okay? Last night, he made the same promises he made 4 years ago, okay? In last night's speech on health care, quote, "We will provide low-income Americans with better access to health care. In a new term, I will ensure every poor county in America has a community or rural health center." What does that even mean? Because in the real, that's rhetoric. And the rhetoric of 2000 was there are 43 million uninsured Americans, 4 million more than when the current administration took office. George W. Bush will reverse this trend by making health insurance affordable for hardworking, low-income families. Now, the truth of the matter is, in the first 3 years Bush was in office, the number of uninsured Americans increased by nearly 5.5 million. Since Bush took office, health insurance premiums have risen by an average rate of 12.5% each year. And right now, uninsured Americans are up around 45 million. If the president continues at this pace, in 2008, there will be 50.2 million uninsured Americans.
Now, you noted, and Ron Suskind pointed this out, and it's very important. You notice he made all these proposals, but he did not say a single word about where the money was going to come from. Does that mean he's going to be a deficit spender, which, of course, runs completely counter to conservative economic principle here?
And did he mention the national debt? No.
No.
Not one bit. How about higher education? Last night, quote, "By raising performance in our high schools and expanding Pell Grants for low- and middle-income families, we will help more Americans start their career with college and a college diploma." All right. Now, in 2000, George W. Bush, the campaign said, "We'll also ensure that federal government, which is the county's largest George W. Bush will fully fund the Pell Grant program for first-year students by increasing the maximum grant amount by more than 50% to $5,100. Now, as of it stands right now, President Bush has frozen the maximum Pell Grant at $4,050 in his 2005 education budget. This is the third year in a row that Bush has frozen or cut the maximum Pell Grant. So he didn't do it what he said he was going to do 4 years ago. He's certainly not going to do it now. He's paying lip service to old stuff.
If you talk to college graduates around this country, you will hear people say time and time and time again, how did they manage to cobble together the money to pay for their education? Many of them will say to you, Pell Grants, because it is a crucial part of paying for higher education in this country. And as you point out, Mark, he is long on rhetoric, long on ruffles and flourishes, but short on the dollars necessary to make that rhetoric come true.
Let's talk about federal spending. Last night, "My plan will encourage investment and expansion by restraining federal spending." Yeah, right. Okay, so let's go back to the to 4 years ago on federal spending. "To restore confidence in government, George W. Bush will attack pork barrel spending."
Yeah, right.
"Since assuming office, President Bush has failed to veto a single bill despite the enormous amount of pork that has crossed his desk. Even conservatives are getting frustrated. The Heritage Foundation recently wrote, quote, budget discipline clearly isn't a priority of this administration, so why pretend it will get tough on frivolous measures like these," end quote. It's amazing to me that this guy, this administration, the sort of like the ends justifies the means stuff, they are pillaging not only this country, but the entire planet to make a few people that are aligned with this administration filthy rich for generations to come, while the rest of us are saddled with a debt that, if I have kids, is still going to be around 3 or 4 generations of Marins.
Well, see, here's again the disingenuous part of this, Mark. In order to restrict and restrain federal spending, you usually have to veto some spending bills. George W. Bush, as you very correctly point out, has not vetoed a single bill, and if that holds, he will be the first president since Garfield, who, by the way, was assassinated while in office after only serving just over a year, not to have vetoed a single measure that came before his desk.
Wow.
That's insane.
That's completely insane.
How do you control federal spending if you're not prepared to say no to somebody?
Oh, my God. It's just amazing that the amount of baloney, and I'm saying that nicely, that some people in this country will eat.
Absolutely. When we come back, Recovery Corner, new information on jobs, Bush's college professor grades his students' performance last night, and so much more here on Air America Radio.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry is serving notice in the Bush-Cheney re-election campaign with a series of new campaign ads pointing out the weaknesses in the Bush White House. Kerry issued his latest attack last night in an Ohio rally, calling both the president and the vice president of Vietnam War draft dodgers. Speaking of that, a former Texas lieutenant governor is getting ready to break his 36-year silence and will tell the media how he helped the young George W. Bush escape the Vietnam War with a covered his spot in the Texas Air National Guard. That hostage holdup in the Russian southern town of Beslin has ended in bloodshed with scores of young children suffering from injuries incurred. Five militants were shot to death by Russian commandos. And the U.S. government is now planning on restoring millions of dollars that were to be cut in a program helping poor families pay the rent. HUD is restoring $156 million after reviewing Public Housing Authority's appeal of an earlier decision on the Section 8 program. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
For continuing coverage on the status of Hurricane Francis, keep it right here with Sirius. First Traffic and Weather 158 and 159 cover weather conditions for Florida regions. And as always, Sirius stays on when your local TV and radio stations are affected by power outages. So let your friends and family know they can call you for the latest information. For all the news, turn to CNN 104, Fox News Channel 105, or the Weather Channel Radio East, Sirius 110.
This is Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. So your hot new sports car flies, hugging hairpin curves, and stopping on a dime. Don't be so sure. Stopping on a dime can cost a pretty penny. When I come back, I'll change your mind about braking distance. I'm Bobby Likas with a tip about fuel injectors. The manufacturer that pioneered the best fuel injector cleaning equipment also makes the best fuel injector cleaner. That company is BG Products. Professionals use BG's 44K to eliminate injector fouling. If you expect professional results, ask for a professional product. Ask your shop for BG 44K or go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. Bet your bottom dollar you cannot stop on a dime. And it'll cost more than a wooden nickel if you rear-end a car while tailgating. Protect your bank account and your life by remembering the golden rule of braking. Leave at least 4 seconds of distance between you and the car ahead. Why? Under ideal conditions, perception and reaction times add up to about 2 seconds. But if you're tired, distracted, or under the influence, perception, reaction, and braking distance are dramatically increased. So forget about stopping on a dime. Instead, use your heads and don't tailgate. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Can I say it? I'm a bad cat daddy.
All right.
Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Yo.
We have a guest in studio I will introduce momentarily, but I'd just like to say that we are on Air America Radio. This is Morning's Edition, and I'm Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark!
And in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober, and as always, I'm offering my counsel to my temporary sponsee, George W. This is sad for me, George W. I saw your speech last night. So many lies, so many layers of self-deception. It's clear you just don't listen to me. I've done my best. I've tried to be patient, but I can't help someone who doesn't want to be helped. This is a program of attraction, not promotion. I need to step back from you, George. You need to reach out to some other people for a while. You know why?
night? Because for me, it got so bad during your speech last night. During your speech last night, it got so bad that I almost took a drink. Do you understand? And I'm not proud of it, but you pushed me to the edge, all right? You pushed me to that point, and I'm not blaming you, all right? You know, I got to take responsibility for my own recovery, but I'll tell you something. Fortunately, John Kerry came on and gave me a hot, strong cup of truth, my friend, or I would have been in trouble, all right? I listened to it two or three times just to get my head back on the Kerry stuff. Thank you, John Kerry. Thank you. And you're not even in the program, and you helped me out. You pulled me out of the water, so to speak. Or in this case, the fire water, my friend. Yeah. Woo! As for George W., I'm here if you need me, pal, but you might want to need someone else for a while. Remember, keep the plug in the jug. There's no chemical solution to a spiritual problem. Bend your knees before you bend your elbow. If you got one foot in yesterday, another foot in the tomorrow, you're peeing on today, get to a meeting, buddy, because I know I had to after what you said to everybody. All right, in studio right now, professor of international business at Baruch
College. Baruch.
Baruch. I pronounce it Baruch because I, my friend, am a cat daddy Jew. You can pronounce it how you want, but that looks like Baruch to me.
Baruch? Okay.
And where are the candles? I want my presents. All right. But actually, more importantly, he is George W. Bush's former professor from Harvard Business School. Please welcome Yoshihiro Tsurumi to the show.
Good morning,
nice
professor.
Good morning.
And right off the bat, let's just clear it up. What kind of student was he?
Not only just intellectually shallow, but I found him pathological liar and lacking any kind of compassion to the ordinary working Americans or foreigners or people of color.
Oh, this because is last night's speech.
He had a goal to declare that there was no racial prejudice and problems in Texas. Remember,
yes.
I taught him from 1973 to 74. Yeah. At that time, still Vietnam War,
yeah.
The civil rights movement.
Yeah.
He denounced the civil rights movement as a socialism.
Yes.
And then he declared that there was no racial problems in Texas, all right? That disconnect.
Gee.
Disconnect.
What planet is that?
Yeah. And therefore, after I listened to his speech, that was nauseating.
Yes.
But he's gotten worse.
Mm-hmm.
He's gotten worse from the time I taught him.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, I have judged, again, him to be totally unfit to be a president of any organization, fraternity or a neighborhood organization, certainly not the president of the United States. Why? He didn't get the meaning of leadership, what leadership requires.
Uh-huh.
That's what I try to teach in my political and economic policy courses at Harvard Business School.
Is that the course he took with you?
Right.
Yeah.
And leadership, as you know, requires honesty,
mm-hmm.
compassion, honor, moral courage to admit the mistakes,
mm-hmm.
and adjust the courses.
Mm-hmm.
It's not flip-flops.
Yeah.
Okay? Environment changes. We all make some decisions, proceed to implement them.
Yes.
Not all of them turn out to be right. Nobody bats 1,000 in according to a baseball analogy. Then you collect the courses.
Yeah.
Then you have to have the leadership. Leadership means ability to convince the followers and other people to follow the different reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, he tends to equate his obstinacy or fixation with his own prejudices with a strength, like a stay the course. Again, he came up with a Vietnam analogy.
So it's stubbornness, it's stubbornness.
Yeah. It's not stubbornness. He's like a Milosevic type or Hitler type of stubbornness. He thinks it's a resolute.
Oh, okay.
And
so
it's nothing resolute about it. It's just his then total disconnect with the reality.
Yes.
And the way that he demonstrated in my class or outside the class that total disconnect with the reality and ability to continue with lies or indulging in denial when challenged is to compartmentalize so narrowly each issue.
Yes.
Then he thinks he's focused. Of course he's focused in the very small things. For example, as far as he's concerned, there is no connection between the Iraq war fiasco.
Yeah.
Blunder.
Yeah.
United States has been bled up to about 80, 90, 100 billion dollars, for example, even economically. Yeah. There's no end in sight. And as far as he's concerned, and as far as his supporters are concerned, there's no connection between that $100 billion drainage drain from the U.S. resources out of taxpayers' money with the what? The dismal health care system, decline of education system, and homeland security even.
Yeah, they don't make the connection.
They don't make connection. And then they try to get away with it because many Americans, unfortunately, are not being able to make a connections.
Right, because let's finish talking about this when we come back. Mm. We're going to take a couple calls, 866-303-2270. We've got the job numbers in, but this is very exciting stuff. Mm. We have Professor Yoshihiro Tsurumi, who taught George W. Bush at Harvard Business School, and he was a belligerent, bad, prejudiced student, and he's even gotten worse. And we're getting into that here on Air America Radio. Call us here at Morning Sedition at 666.
Wait a minute.
Ah, sorry. That's the mark of the beast.
That's 866-303-2270.
That's 866-303-2270.
For continuing coverage on the status of Hurricane Francis, keep it right here with Sirius. First traffic and weather 158 and 159 cover weather conditions for Florida regions. And as always, Sirius stays on when your local TV and radio stations are affected by power outages. So let your friends and family know they can call you for the latest information. For all the news, turn to CNN 104, Fox News Channel 105, or the Weather Channel Radio East, Sirius 110.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst. You have to choose between often the reality of the rent that's due on the first of the month and your desire to ignore that and go for the brass ring.
There is a reality that happens, and if you are, if you have to make the rent due at the end of the month, it is pretty darn difficult to change your careers dramatically. And those that have done it tend to have saved up some money and given themselves a little breathing space. There was some research done in New York that said that the average length of time out of work had gone from 13 weeks to 18 weeks over the last 4 years. So if you want to make a significant change, you certainly have to count on, 4 or 5 months. To change jobs.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
If you had invested $50 in a mutual fund 20 years ago, you would have gotten back $452. If you had invested $50 in the United Negro College Fund, you would have gotten back someone like Michael Jordan. So support the United Negro College Fund and let a kid profit from a college education. Please call 1-800-332-UNCF. Because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service message from the United Negro College Fund and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Tape 5, The Backpat. Let's say your child comes home from high school. They did something good. It's time to give them The Backpat. Now you try The Backpat. That's it. And pat, pat, pat.
It's really not that difficult. Encourage them. Get them to graduate. Don't drop out on your kids. For a free brochure, call 877-4-A-KID. That's 877-F-O-R-A-K-I-D. This message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
I started hearing voices telling me, you're dying, you're dying. I couldn't make them stop. My heart kept speeding up and slowing down. Now I feel paranoid all the time, and I can't tell what is real and what isn't. I'm on medication, but it doesn't help. Sometimes I believe I'm already dead and in hell.
Unfortunately, this 19-year-old learned that happiness and a heightened sense of touch aren't the only side effects of ecstasy. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
We're back with Professor Yoshihiro Tsurumi, George W. Bush's business professor in Harvard Business School. He's now a professor of international business at Baruch College in the University of New York. We just got the Labor Department numbers in for this month. The Labor Department says that the economy added 144,000 jobs in August.
an improvement from July, but slightly weaker than economists suspected. The employment rate dips to 5.4%. Professor, tell us what that means on all
okay.
of these levels.
It's a miserable number. Again,
miserable number. Yeah.
It belies the George Bush's last night. There's the barefaced lie that the his tax cuts are creating jobs and others. All right. During the Bush administration so far, the net job loss has been conservatively estimated at around about 2.6 to 3 million jobs.
Wow.
So in order to really recover those jobs, plus mm-hmm. to keep up with the population growth and so forth, the United mm-hmm. States has to be producing, creating net, at least about 250 to 280,000 jobs a month. So the 144,000 jobs are just a one half, statistically speaking.
Halfway there.
Halfway. Much worse. To make matters worse, and this is a point George didn't get it when he was my student. To make it this matters worse, this job number is a gross number. Part-time, low-paying jobs. If you work more than even 1 hour a week, according to the Department of Labor Statistics,
you're employed.
You are counted as employed.
Oh,
you
wow.
created jobs.
And how about all those people that have been unemployed for so long, they no longer even count it?
They don't count.
Right.
That's why unemployment rate dipped a little bit because many people have become so discouraged, too discouraged to seek jobs.
Wow.
Well, you know, they've been saying that the bad economic news had something to do with Hurricane Charley rolling through Florida, but yet the Labor Department now says that the Hurricane Charley, which was, of course, back on August 13th, had no discernible impact on the numbers. Are you surprised, Professor?
Not at all. Not at all. He shows that the tendency to blame everybody else for the things, problems he has caused for himself. Job
right.
number per se. He last night he blamed the 9/11 conveniently and many others for slow economic recovery. But
and he also used that. It to say he was successful. He used 9/11.
Yeah, that's the amazing.
That's another lies.
Yeah,
a pathetic lies, and they are hoping that the most Americans have a very short memory.
Yeah,
and
Professor, I got to ask you. You were probably sitting up in your office in 2000, maybe even earlier than that, 1999.
Right.
And you hear on the radio, or maybe you see on television, that your former student is getting ready to run for the presidency of the United States. What was your first reaction?
Well, I started following him slightly earlier than that, but certainly when he became the governor
of Texas,
Texas and all that. That's the time he reappeared on my radar screen.
Yeah.
And when I heard him, he was really at the running for the presidency. First, my reaction was American voters are not that gullible, all right? But unfortunately, half of them, nearly half of them, turned out to be that gullible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then mass media, last time during the election cycle, if you recall, American, the main mass media did a shameful job of vetting the Bush,
as
a Texas governor, or as a business, so-called businessman, titular head of all these bankrupt companies, always bailed out by Saudi Arabia and many others, and he did a poor job.
The
right?
media is pretty shameful, too,
it is.
On
and,
all levels.
As a Texas governor, for example, I heard that, if you recall, in 1999, the end, about toward the end of the year, already when he was running for the presidency, Department of Agriculture came up with annual statistics on hunger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do. Now Bush stopped publishing that data. That's his way of approaching the problems. Hide them or etc. Hunger, and it showed that Texas was at the top of the hunger among the youngs and so forth. He was a governor.
That's unbelievable. Also, it was in the top of the most polluted cities.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
But the reaction, his disconnect, his lying disconnect, compartmentalized, he lied outright. He said, there's no children are going to go hungry in this state, Texas. You do think the governor would have heard if there are pockets of hunger in Texas. Since I haven't heard, I don't know it.
It doesn't exist.
This is an interesting question. We've got a caller that has something along those lines to ask you. Jerry in Long Island, how are you?
Hey, Jerry.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, hi, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, this pathological lying you're talking about on the part of George W. Bush, Is this the large part of the reason that the Bush administration misleads and lies to us on virtually everything, from not just the war in Iraq, but also to the air quality at Ground Zero? Mm. They try to pressure the EPA to say that the air quality at Ground Zero
good question,
is better
Jerry.
Than it was.
Thanks a lot. It's a good question. Let's see what the professor has to say. Do you think it has his administration is following suit?
No, that's a lie. For example, that it's at the even for the New Yorkers, he used all this is shamefully all the pictures of
the 9/11
and then I recall he promised and you know to New York whatever it takes to reconstruct this and for you know starter $20 billion.
Yes.
How much has New York received so far? At most about 10 to 11 billion dollars, one half of what has been promised.
And the city had to pay for the convention.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And as a result, throughout the United States, especially major cities like New York, first responders to the all this the attacks or the catastrophe, police, fire department, EMT, emergency medicine, everything else, those budgets being cut.
Yeah, there are 4,000 fewer cops in New York now than there were on September 11th.
Unbelievable.
So those are the realities, and that's why when you talk about disconnect, that's a much nicer way to say that. But he lies, and when he's challenged about his lies, he blames the critics. Or people who raise the questions.
Yeah. Blame the challenges.
And when he's challenged, he does resort to say anything, do anything, way to attack the critics.
Squirm and strike out at them,
And that tendency was apparent when he was a student. For example, he comes up with a shallow analysis of the cases and the debates and so forth. He's challenged. And he becomes totally just the emotional. Then he denied that he has ever said that. Even anything he said about 30 seconds ago. He denies. Then, remember one day that after that kind of discussion, outside the class, he came to badmouth his classmates. Who really exposed his stupidity and everything else. And that's what. And then when he cannot do it, he let his lackeys to attack everything else.
Okay,
that's what he's now doing to John Kerry.
That's absolutely
same thing, yeah.
We got to wrap it up here, Professor. What's your grade?
Grade?
Yeah. Last night's speech.
Well, grade from... the grade is F.
Thanks a lot, Professor. Thank you very much.
We appreciate it.
Your roomy professor at Baruch College and George W. Bush's ex-professor. Mm. Really great talking to you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much.
We'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio.
Urgent news for people who have taken the acne drug Accutane. Accutane was promoted as a safe way to treat severe acne. 100% of Accutane users will experience adverse side effects if you or your child has experienced liver, kidney, or pancreatic damage, inflammatory bowel disease, diabetes, birth defects, musculoskeletal injuries, psychiatric or cardiovascular problems. Call the Accutane Litigation Group at 1-866-422-2843 to see if you may be entitled to compensation. 1-866-4-ACU-HELP. Now.
New York City, September 4th at Town Hall. Mother Jones Magazine presents The State of the Union, an evening of uncensored political comedy to benefit uncensored, uncompromising independent media. Starring Air America host Janine Garofalo and Liz Winstead. Bipartisan smartass Will Durst. Comic artist Ward Sutton, Eugene Merman, and friends. Tickets through Ticketmaster. More information at motherjones.com.
The blockbuster event of the year! All the thrill! All the chill! Romance! Comedy! Drama!
John! Marcia!
It's fun for the whole family! All your favorite E! Entertainment TV shows! All on Sirius E! Entertainment Radio 136!
Imagine you're at a soccer match and your favorite player has the ball. As she zeroes in on the goal, you want to yell, "You can do it, honey!" She shoots, she scores! You go to scream, "That's my baby!" But nothing comes out.
when you've got a crushed voice box. If you had only been wearing your seatbelt when the truck came out of nowhere, your throat wouldn't have slammed into the steering wheel and you wouldn't have gotten silenced. And this story wouldn't have gotten all twisted. So buckle up, because you never know.
A message from the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
If you think of a library as that place where shh is the only thing you hear, think again. Many are being forced to cut back hours, reduce services, even close their doors. The time to support your local library is now. Contact your library to find out how you can help keep the doors open. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. For more info, visit the American Library Association at www.ala.org.
The Consultant Pharmacist is your own personal health care consultant. You'll find them in nursing homes, other long-term care settings, and in your community. Anywhere there's a need for high-level medication management. But Consultant Pharmacy is more than just managing medications. It's about helping people live better and longer lives. This message brought to you by the American Society of Consultant Pharmacists.
Great. We're coming in for landing here. Hopefully he'll come back. I know he does Sam and Janine's show occasionally, but it was our first time hanging out with him. I enjoyed that.
He was great, man. Yeah. He was great.
Absolutely. That's Mark Riley and Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. I'm off to Seattle for the weekend. Yeah, where are you going?
I'm going to Moosic, Pennsylvania, Bush was today.
Day after Hurricane Bush hits Moosic.
That's right.
You guys, yeah, the kittens, why, over the weekend, why don't you think of some names? I haven't named them. I got an orange one, I got a black and white one, and I got two of the sort of, classic, kind of grayish striped ones. You know, I don't know what you call it. It's a variation. It's kind of grayish green striped. Two of those. One of them has a white patch. I liked the names from the Dream Diary that Butch came up with. Those are good. But, the thing is, I'm sure there are people that have cats named Chomsky. I can't do that. I can't put that on them. But,
Maron, you know, you really, I gotta admire your stamina. Because we've been through a tough week this week. We've been up early every day this week. Yeah. We've been going over to the convention, enduring all that stress. And now you're going to fly to Seattle. And do some comedy.
Yeah.
Do some funny.
Yeah. And during all that stress, I bring four wild animals into my apartment. It's like, hey, I got a tough week coming up here. Maybe I should go outside and trap the wild cats behind my apartment and bring them up. The day I did, I called Brendan P.W. McDonald, one of our recently engaged SPW producers. I recently engaged producer. The day I took him, I remember calling up going, what do I do? What did I do? I got four cats in my house. What?
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Then I said, do I have a disease now? Do I? But I love them. I love the cats. I'm going to stick with it. But you did a great job this week, Ryan. I had a good time. Surprisingly, I was dreading it, and we did all right.
We got through it.
We did the reporting we needed to do, the commentary, and we made all those Republican talk shows jealous and all the straight news shows. We made the Republicans mad and the straight news shows jealous. They couldn't say what we were saying.
They kept shushing us.
It was hilarious. The Bloomberg guy next one was like, hey, I got a story for you. I can't do it, but you guys. All right, here's the liberal agenda. Write these down. One, urge City of New York to talk to a crisis counselor after this week's brutal attack. Two, assemble 12-inch dance mix of Bush's acceptance speech, cut together with a Hitler speech and endangered whale songs. Deep. Three, wrap giant paper mache tank with Bush head and bubble wrap and ship to Ohio for Cleveland rally. Touring the country. Four, update your website. Post protest diary photos from New York City detention cell of symbolic... Oh, man. All right. Post protest diary photos from New York City detention cell of symbolic nude human pyramid. Five, today's phrase, just drop it in the conversation. And stay out! Forget about it. See you later, Republican death cult.
Yep. Have yourself a nice life.
Oh, we're leaving, aren't we?
We're leaving. We are out of here. We won't be back till Tuesday.
Have a good week.
Have a good week. Coming up on Morning Sedition next week, Mark Crispin Miller is back on the show. Plus, we'll have the author of Fortress America. That's Tuesday's Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. Have a good one, Maron.
You too.